much about. So easy. You gotta put it in the perspective.
In order to get to heaven, you need to accept Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior.
Done. I f***ing love him. What else?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
What's that song called? About the grandma getting run over by a reindeer?
Grandma got run over by a reindeer?
No.
Merry Christmas, everyone. This is Doe Toe.
Woo!
Everybody knows a turkey and some mistletoe have to make the season bright. Tiny little tots with their eyes all the
Do you think the world would be a better place, you guys, if we had Christmas every day?
What do you think?
No.
Kevin, do you happen to have any Christmas thoughts?
Sure. Christmas is an over-commercialized holiday that stores use to overcharge you for crap you don't need.
Merry Christmas, motherfuckers.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Marijuana is delicious.
Don't bogart that joint. Friend, pass it over to me.
I don't want anything to do with your wiener.
Roll another one.
Do you ever blame yourself?
Just like the other one.
What?
This one seems to be about to quit.
Are there any dogs up in this house?
I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time
Let's
to shine.
Let's shine.
That's what Christmas is all about. Try it on.
Roll another one. Just like the other one.
This is a mess.
This one seems to be about to end.
Dr. Drew called me unfixable.
I don't have.
Holy crap, I don't know who the hell we think we are when we do something like that.
Is meat on the menu this week?
Just pass it around.
It's surprisingly salty.
That is classic.
Just pass it on down.
And now.
Damn, is it Christmas already that we need sweaters and it's winter time? So anyways.
Our feature presentation.
So anyways, indeed. Welcome in to yet another all-new Kevin and Bean show, this time for a Friday, already the 14th of December. What's up, party people?
What's up? Woo!
Lisa, when are you leaving for Belize and some junk?
I am leaving on Tuesday.
Have you ever been there?
No.
Where is Belize? Just south of Mexico?
It is in Central America, right next to Guatemala.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, that's neat.
And it has a bunch of little islands called Keys, and that's where all the people stay.
And are you going there because you want to be there to see the end of the world up close and personal with the
I
Mayans?
I do. I am planning to be at a Mayan cave with skulls and things that are like 1,000 years old on the 12th.
Dude.
I mean the 21st. Rather.
21st,
12,
yeah.
21, yeah.
And is this a thing that was, this was a big tourist boom for any place that has Mayan ruins just because of all the talk leading up to 2012?
I don't actually know. I just thought it would be cool. I was just planning to go there anyway, and then we thought, Mayan ruins, 21st, let's do it.
Sounds like fun.
Sounds fun, right?
All right.
Yeah.
Here's a topic that we don't talk about often on this program, but you know me, I love death and I love putting the fun back into funeral. And what's your thought on funerals? You for them or against them?
I like memorials services.
Memorials?
Yeah.
It's weird. I was thinking about this, and I'll tell you why I bring it up, because there's a new TV show naturally on TLC called Best Funeral Ever that's getting ready to debut. Best Funeral Ever is the name of the show. When my mom died 10 years ago, my dad and my mom had this thing where neither one of them wanted a funeral. My dad's still alive. Neither one of them wanted a funeral. So my dad called and said, hey, your mom died. And then that was it. That was the end of it. There was no service. There was no memorial. There was no burial. There was nothing.
Really?
She was just gone. And it was a little bit weird just because your expectation is that you have some opportunity to say goodbye or some opportunity to kind of be in a room and see people and talk about the deceased.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It took a long time for me to kind of to put the period on the end of that sentence. You know what I mean?
Do you think that did a disservice to you in terms of your mourning?
I thought that at the time, but my later, the more I thought about it as years went on, I thought, who cares about me? It's really more important what's better for my dad. And I don't think my dad felt like, I think, he couldn't have survived it.
Aww.
He couldn't have survived something like that.
Well, then that's understandable.
So if it's better for him, better for me.
Right.
And I only bring that up just because I love the idea of this show so much, which is best funeral ever. There's a funeral home in Dallas called the Golden Gate Funeral Home where they do theme burials. For instance, one of the ones that you'll see on the show is a Christmas-inspired funeral, complete with reindeer, elves, and snow.
Well, you would love that. You love Christmas.
I would love that. Yeah, it'd be perfect for me. There's also a singer known for his famous rib sauce jingle who's having a barbecued-themed funeral.
Okay.
Including live pigs, by the way. Now, that concerns me a little bit because there's a fine line between what's appropriate at a funeral and what's not. If they're actually butchering pigs at a funeral, I think that may be going too far. Don't you?
You said live pigs. They're not going to stay live?
Well, that's what I don't know. It just says live pigs will be there. Also, praise dancers and a barbecued sauce fountain where loved ones will dip a ceremonious rib to say goodbye.
You know, that's great. It's just a bummer for the dead person because they would love this so much.
Like maybe have this the week before the person
dies. I am very much in favor of having your own memorial or funeral. Yes.
We're going to make these families extremely happy at their worst moment of their lives. Oh, it's a special, by the way. It's going to be airing on December 26th. So
the day after Christmas.
Day after Christmas. So
that's
if you
awesome.
Want to check it out, as I will, believe me, it's the best funeral ever. And by the way, the screen cap is from the funeral with the barbecue enthusiast.
Uh-huh.
And it shows the pallbearers all smiling, all wearing chef's outfits, little hats and aprons. And they're carrying this coffin, which looks like a giant barbecue smoker.
That's great.
So they go all out.
You just totally forget that someone died when you're watching that.
It does sound like a hell of a party, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
All right, let's talk about today's all-new Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
I don't know. What is that?
Well, what this is Trapped in the Closet, chapters 32 and 33, as we near the finish line with the R. Kelly song. I was thinking about how long this song is. I mean, this song is like 2 hours long at this point, right?
Yeah, yeah.
If you sat down and listened to all of it one right after another, which no one ever could or would. We got that for you coming up, to including the first chapter in just about 20 minutes from right now. We've got, Lisa, you're going to be happy to know that we didn't think we were going to have time for it, but a spot opened up to call QVC for you today.
I mean, no, I don't know how to feel about it, really.
Depends on whether this is the year that it turns out good or not.
It's perpetual disappointment.
as is everything with you on this show. We don't know. We don't have any idea what they're going to be selling. Nobody tell us.
Yeah, don't tell us.
We're going to be calling at some point during today's show and buying what's ever on the screen. Also, our friend Joe Levy joins us today from Billboard Magazine, recapping the year that was music in 2012, a surprisingly good year for a lot of the bands that we play here on K-Rock.
Yeah.
The great George Takei joins us on the show today. He, of course, Mr. Sulu from Star Trek. He's guest appearing on an episode of Hawaii Five-O coming up. I always love talking to George. No one seems to enjoy his life more than George Takei does.
That is the truth.
Just
he is having
like
an amazing time.
Yeah, happy. Happiest guy in the world. Mr. Skin on the program today counts down the top 10 nude scenes of 2012. I always love talking to Mr. Skin. Cousin Sal is going to preview the NFL weekend for us. We've got the top 10 sound bites of 2012 as well. I think this is the last in our list of look back at the year just passed.
Okay.
And I think you guys are going to enjoy that very much. Plus, what are this season's most dangerous toys to avoid? Very scary, very serious. That's all coming up. And Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat next, right after this on the world famous K-Rock. You know what? I forgot to mention, more free stuff on today's Kevin and Bean Show.
Yep.
Kicking off the weekend early, you can win a pair of tickets to Disneyland Southern California annual passes. We've got those for you coming up in about an hour or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. So you want free Disneyland, this is the right place to be. It's 5:51. Ralph joins us now. Time for the Showbiz Beat. Good morning.
I will see your Disneyland, and I will raise you a special advanced screening of a movie that everyone wants to see. How about that?
Okay.
I have passes to the K-Rock advanced screening of This Is 40.
Yay!
Brand new Judd Apatow movie. It's in theaters everywhere on Friday, December the 21st. However, you, my lucky friends, might be able to see it on the 17th at the AMC Burbank 16. We're having a special K-Rock advanced screening. Looks like a very funny film with a very funny Paul Rudd. He's good in almost everything he does.
Terrific actor.
Yep. Leslie Mann, Judd Apatow's wife, also a very talented woman in her own right. Jason Segel stops by. It is sort of a sequel to Knocked Up. It is the lives of Pete and Debbie, who you met in that film. And a crossroad in their relationship and the hilarity that ensues. If you'd like to go see it, 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. Call right now. The first five callers who get through will get tickets to the advanced screening of This Is 40. Bean, I couldn't help but hear you on your death talk this morning.
Yeah.
About the spectacularly hilarious best funeral ever.
Reality. Can't wait. December 26th, TLC.
It's going to be on, TLC.
The Freak Show Network.
Yeah. I have something for them. Maybe they haven't heard about this. Maybe they should add this to their list. Have you heard about the Catacombo?
No. What's the Catacombo?
Catacombo is a customized luxury sound system for your coffin.
Really?
Yep. Yeah. It's a sound system, a three-speaker sound system that they put in your coffin, and it has a touchscreen remote system that is installed in your gravestone.
Hmm.
So visitors come by to visit you at your grave. They can go through your playlist and pick a song to play for you while you're dead in the coffin.
No point in that. No point in that at all.
For the music lover in your life.
Really? So in other words, not that any of you would come visit my grave. No. But if you did, you could hit a button and listen to a little of Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald while you talked about me.
But you can hear it, more importantly. The speakers are in your coffin.
Okay.
So you're listening to it much more so than the guests are.
Yeah, it would be kind of tough to hear that from 6 feet under, I guess. But you're saying there's a speaker above ground as well?
Well, it doesn't say, it's not clear here whether you can hear it at the graveside or not. Or,
that seems
or you're
like,
just playing it for your friend down below.
Yeah, because if your friend is dead, he's really not hearing it.
Oh, really? Do you think?
I think it's just a big, giant waste of time and money if the people up above can't hear it.
You wouldn't even know if it could be heard or if it's even playing.
Yes,
maybe
that's
it's
right.
Just a big hoax.
I think just pour one out for your homie and go about your day and just forget all this nonsense.
However, if you're like me and you'd like to dance on Bean's grave, that would come in very handy if you could go from the place like get Gangnam Style,
yeah,
you know, on the touchscreen. Then I'd be up there doing that pony thing on top of Bean's grave, just laughing my ass off.
I have a feeling that my grave is going to be Ralph's happy place. That's going to be the place he goes when he's having a rough day and he just wants to cheer himself up. He'll go, well, at least Bean's dead.
How much for the Catacombo sound system do you think for your coffin? The sound system for your coffin.
The sound system that no one can hear.
That's right.
I'm going to say
the sound system for people who can't appreciate music any longer.
$3,000.
$3,000. Anyone else? Anyone else want to take it?
I wasn't going quite that much. I was going to say like $1,500 maybe.
Hmm. Okay. $35,000.
What?
What?
$35,000. $35,000.
That's gouging in the funeral industry is what that is.
That's $35,000.
I know they tend to upsell you at the funerals because they make you feel bad. You don't want the best for your loved one? But this is crazy,
you'll be
right?
The only person at the cemetery with your own sound system, I guarantee you. All right. This is disturbing news. We were all sort of taken aback by Jason Sudeikis' ridiculous amount of luck with the ladies.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes,
well, rumor has it that he and his current girlfriend, Olivia Wilde...
Oh, come on.
...are planning a wedding for 2013.
Why would that guy ever get married?
That's what I'm saying.
Well, Olivia Wilde.
Right, but
not too shabby.
But they make new hot actresses in Hollywood every day that he can date.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
they're
true.
Not all exactly interchangeable. I don't know if you guys know this.
No, sometimes it's an upgrade, Lisa. So far, Sudeikis has been upgrading every step of the way. So
they have like personalities and things.
Oh, Lisa. Stop with your crazy talk. Apparently he took her home to meet his folks in Kansas City, and the whole entire town is buzzing about the nuptials, say friends and family of Sudeikis.
And Olivia Wilde was the one who was married to the prince, remember?
Yeah.
And they were young, very young when they got married.
They married for quite a while.
Bus
in the desert.
Is that what it was?
Around. Yeah, they married a bus in the desert the first time
so
around.
So she's ready to go for it again, huh?
Yeah, how about that? You know who Jason Sudeikis' uncle is?
Mm-mm.
George, I don't think I do.
George Wendt from Cheers.
Really?
Really?
Yeah. Isn't that something?
It is.
I'd have guessed that.
A little piece of trivia for you. Ah, this is sad. L.A. Reid's out of a job. X Factor judge L.A. Reid is leaving the show. It has been renewed for a third season, but Reid will not be returning.
Is that his decision?
Well, he says he's devoting his time to running Epic Records and the signing new talent and things like that. But there had
he
been,
did have a full-time job before he took on the judging.
But there have been rumors that he didn't really add much show to the show, and they were talking about it, giving him the boot anyway. So it may have been a mutually...
No one adds to the show.
That's true.
Am I a bad person that I've never watched that show?
You're not missing a thing.
Okay.
Not missing a thing. Britney Spears is lackluster. Demi Lovato is pointless. The whole thing is just a exercise in futility.
Did Simon make a mistake leaving American Idol?
Oh, yes. Oh, absolutely. That hurt everybody. That hurt him. That hurt the American Idol. It was a lose-lose proposition. Well, now we know the name of the song Paul McCartney played with a reunited Nirvana at the 12-12-12 concert. It was called Cut Me Some Slack. Here's how it happened. Apparently, Paul was jamming with those guys for Dave Grohl's new documentary, Sound City, about the legendary Los Angeles recording studio. That's how that foursome came together. Dave brought the musicians together to cut one song in a single day, and that was it. And that was the song they played at the 12-12-12 thing. You know, Courtney Love's furious about this. Did you hear that?
Yes.
She started going off. How dare
how
they?
How embarrassing is this,
how
by
dare
the way?
They? Who do they think? Who's this Paul McCartney who dares to take front of Nirvana, the greatest band ever, and my husband was the soul of that band. How could they get together without him? And who's this Paul McCartney think he is? Well, it turns out he's a freaking Beatle.
He's eligible to front any band,
that's
by
right.
the way.
He can get in front of anybody at any time because he was actually in the biggest rock band in the history of recorded music.
I don't know why Courtney Love, I mean, I guess I do know why, because she's crazy and she's Hey Look at Me, but why even open up your big fat mouth over this? Look, if the remaining members of Nirvana want to work with Paul McCartney, it's their call. They're actually in Nirvana. They're the ones who have a say as to who's appropriate to work with.
I get,
bitch got no class.
I get the sense it's because Dave's involved, right? Anytime Dave's involved, yes. she's got to take a swipe.
Skinny because, little bitch.
Because she's just still chap-assed about the fact that he doesn't support her
right
habits.
Mm-hmm.
And nor should he. By the way, I watched that McCartney song on video a couple of more times yesterday. I really like that song. And he's 71 years old.
Yeah.
And he is rocking every bit as hard as everybody else on that stage.
He brings it. I was impressed by the old men on that lineup. Because Springsteen is old.
Yep.
He's in his 60s.
Yeah.
He crushed it. Billy Joel's old and fat.
Yes.
He sounded as good as he's ever sounded.
Yep.
Even The Who.
Yeah.
Who are notoriously bad these days live, I thought really did a
very
good
old.
Job.
Rolling yeah. Stone.
Very old. The Stones are old.
Rolling
Everybody's
Stones
old.
Look
Everybody's
good.
Old, and everybody worked their ass off on
yeah.
that show.
Yeah, they did.
Clapton.
Clapton, yeah. Yep. Most disappointing guy, Kanye West. Most disappointing guy in the whole lineup.
I agree.
He's half the age of everybody else on that stage.
I agree. I thought his set was pretty lackluster.
And
Chris Martin
I didn't
was
care
good,
for his leather
way,
dress too. That he was wearing either. I didn't think that was very. I don't think that was a good choice, a good fashion choice for him.
By the way, I want to make sure you know that Beer Mug tweeted that Eric Clapton is a good guitar player.
What?
I want to make sure that that word gets out there because maybe a lot of people don't realize that he's good on the guitar, but Beer Mug did tweet
Beer
that
Mug,
during the
you
show.
You have to pick your battles. You can't go out there just saying that kind of stuff willy-nilly. You're going to get yourself in trouble.
It's controversial, I know.
It is. With those kind of stands, you're really going to get a lot of enemies. Clapton's a good guitar player.
Yeah.
Damn. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Actress, singer Vanessa Hudgens. You may remember her from the High School Musical movies. I remember her from those stolen nude photos of hers from her laptop that they
yes.
showed, where she had a 5 o'clock shadow in a place you don't usually see that. Actor and singer Jackson Rathbone. Oh, he was my favorite Sherlock Holmes. No, wait a minute. He was in the Twilight Saga movies.
Yeah, I think you're thinking of Basil.
He's 28 years old today. Actor Ted Raimi. Ted Raimi. He's one of the good guys. When I first came out to Los Angeles, when I started acting classes, Ted Raimi and I were in the same acting class.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And he is just a good person and a nice guy. And his brother, of course, is Sam Raimi, the legendary director who did mm-hmm. the Spider-Man movies and stuff. But I lost touch with Ted, but I hope he's doing well. He's 47 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You know, maybe we don't have to call QVC. I mean, that's a bit that's fun and all. We've done it. But I don't think that we have to do it again. Right, Lisa?
Yeah.
Look, if Lisa doesn't get her collectible lunar module snap together kit or a cubic zirconia nipple rings, how is she going to celebrate the holiday season without her just ridiculous gift from
What about
you
my
and
gardening
Kevin?
Clogs?
Oh, I forgot the gardening clogs. That was awesome.
And
what about
we'll build
her
it-
faux Tiffany make-it-yourself lamp kit.
Yeah, which is still in my closet.
That's right. Well, the call is happening in 15 minutes. The annual call to QVC. What will Lisa get for Christmas from the Kevin and Bean Show? We'll find out coming up. First, though, we're very near the finish line here for R. Kelly's latest batch of chapters for Trapped in the Closet. Ralph, I can't believe this, but we're all the way up to episode number 32.
32 out of 33. Just two left today. We'll be doing this one right now, and then the final chapter in the new batch of chapters from R. Kelly's Trapped in the Closet, chapter 33, later on in the show. But, yeah, we're right near the end. It's a little sad. Because once we're through these, then we got to wait for the next batch.
Yeah, who knows when the inspiration will hit him again.
Now, well, luckily, R. Kelly has said he has hundreds and hundreds of chapters that he's gotten.
That's because he writes them and doesn't rewrite them or reread them. That's why.
It's easy if you don't really care
first
about
drafts.
Your work. remember earlier in the story, we found out that Pimp Lucius, the stuttering pimp, went home to his parents, and we were shocked to find out his parents were actually Randolph and Rosie. Remember that?
That's right.
And Randolph, he's yelling at his son. He's disappointed in his son's life choices, as you can imagine, because he is a pimp. And the doorbell keeps ringing and ringing and ringing. So finally he opens the door, and there on the porch are standing Pimp Lucius's hoes.
Right.
And Randolph says, oh, look, En Vogue is here with the new lead singer. He mistook the hoes for En Vogue. Well, after the fact, Lucius is furious at the hoes because they interrupted his chance to get some racks, as Lucius says, or money from his parents and perhaps crash there for a while. He's upset with them, and he really doesn't hide it.
What the hell are you bitches doing?
Daddy, we came to
shut up! Now, didn't I tell you hoes to wait in the car?
Yes, but no, see, I wanted to...
Shut up! And don't utter another goddamn word. You see this fist? Now, whose idea was this?
Yeah, he is not a nice pimp.
Not at all.
He is he threatens his hoes with violence on a regular basis. And I don't know much about pimping. Maybe that's standard operational procedure, but I think it's out of line, personally.
Look, if you're going to force a woman to have sex and then you take most of the money, at least be nice to her.
That's what I'm saying. And especially Nocia, who is, of course, the Asian blind prostitute. Nocia, R. Kelly has called the character Nocia, and he, in the video, makes her walk around with dark glasses on and a long white cane that she's tapping around while she walks around with the rest of the hoes. Just in case Nocia wasn't enough of a tip-off for us that she was blind, he has her dressed like a cartoon character from a Popeye cartoon from the 30s. Well, R. Kelly still doesn't trust us to pick up on the subtlety of his humor, I don't believe. Here's Lucius continuing on with his berating of his hoes.
Bitches, didn't I ask you a question?
Well, we were all sitting in the car, and it was just taking too long. And then Nocia got worried, and she said to us, let's get out and see what's going on. And that's...
Shut it up! Now just shut your goddamn mouth! You can't bullshit me, no see of my ass. Hell, this bitch can't even see.
Oh, really? Are you afraid we haven't picked up on the fact that she can't see? So you got to work that into the lyrics, R. Kelly.
And by the way, how much do you have to humiliate this poor blind prostitute anyway?
It's bad enough she's blind and she's hooking, but now you have to call it out in front of everyone. Well, he sends the girls back to the car to wait for him, and he thinks about what his daddy said about his hoes.
Call my bitches En Vogue.
Ain't that some S? Yeah, it sure is, Lucius.
Oh my God.
Now, sprinkled throughout all the chapters, as I've mentioned, they've been doing these sort of confessionals where they sit down with characters in character and they give them a chance to tell their story in sort of monologue form. And it turns out we find out that this is part of a documentary that they're doing, a reality show,
oh,
a show within a show kind of thing. And mostly they're just recaps of the chapters, but these last two chapters, R. Kelly's just losing his mind and also stretching himself as an artist, because instead of just having them talk, in this case with Pimp Lucius, he's written new songs for the characters. Pimp Lucius now has this full-blown Shaft, Papa Was a Rolling Stone, early 1970s R&B groove to it that I was completely taken by surprise with. Here's Lucius's confession.
All I wanted was to borrow a few racks and a place to lay my head. But Pappy Douglas know he be tripping. He ain't wanted to have nothing to do with me. Yeah. Ever since I dropped out of high school and started pimping.
Pimping! All the hoes are behind him like backup singers. Tripping. He's sitting there with, it looks like Bootsy Collins with the sparkly glasses and everything. It's very entertaining. So
how can R. Kelly have time to write more songs?
No idea, but wait till you hear his tribute to Michael Jackson in the finale. You're not going to believe it. That is coming up later in the show, but for now, that is chapter 32 of Trapped in the Closet.
Hey, you're listening to the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. Thanks so much for tuning into the Kevin and Bean Show. Got a huge program for you today. Our friend Mr. Skin is going to be on talking about the top 10 nude actress scenes of 2012. Always look forward to that. Also, Cousin Sal with a preview of the NFL weekend. Actor George Takei on the program today. The holiday movie beat. And we'll look at the year back in music with Billboard Magazine's Joe Levy. That's all coming up. Plus, top 10 sound bites, too. Does that sound like too much show?
It does, actually.
Like, how are we going to squeeze all that in before 10 o'clock?
Not going to do it.
All right. King of Mexico, our producer Dave is on the phone right now. He's going to put them on hold in a moment once QVC is lined up and ready to legally go on the air. Lisa, how long do you think we've been calling QVC for your birthday and for Christmas?
Oh, my gosh. It has to be like 15 years or something.
I don't remember the first, like, how did it happen the first time? Where did the idea come from that we would call and just buy whatever was on the screen sight unseen?
You were lazy, cheap bastards, and neither of you had gotten anything for me for Christmas, and you thought, oh, I know what we'll do. We'll just call QVC, and whatever they have, that's what you get.
And of course, the fear is always that it's going to be a new car.
I mean, yes.
That's like the worst. Look, QVC, they sell everything.
Yes.
They've got, I mean, depending on what time of day you call it, of course, we always call about this time, but depending on when you tune into that program, they could be selling riding lawnmowers. I mean, we have no idea what it's going to be. There's some very pricey stuff. They have jewelry that's sometimes thousands of dollars that they sell on QVC.
Fingers crossed, because I never get that.
And the Dave, I don't know if Dave can hear us or not. Dave, what's the update? We're going to have somebody here? What's going on?
Management has declined to go on air.
You're kidding. Okay, so now we
what?
Really?
What are we supposed to do now,
We've
Dave?
Never had a problem.
I don't know. Let's try somewhere else. Give me a second, okay?
He's going to try somewhere else?
What is that? Like Home Shopping Network or something like that? Well, I don't have an account with them, but I guess we could set one up. See, here's the thing. Here's a little behind the scenes, inside baseball here, is that for years we would just call them, and they're always very nice. They answer the phone, and we say, hey, it's Kevin and Bean Show calling. We're on the air. We want to really buy something. We're not wasting your time. We want to buy something from you right now. And they say, fine, and we go and we do the transaction. Everyone's happy. But technically, you're not allowed to put people on the air without them knowing ahead
of
time.
You have to tell them before you ever even talk to them on the air.
Exactly.
Even if they're not saying a word.
Exactly. Right. Yeah, yeah. Even if they just answer the phone and say QVC and they didn't want that to be on the air, we could get in some sort of trouble.
Right.
These days, especially with the royal hoax and everything else that's going on, you know, that phone call, the last thing we want to do is get in trouble. So I said, hey, let's just have Dave call and tell him, hey, we want to buy something, but we just need to talk to somebody on the air for a minute. And that's hilarious that they said no.
Why do they? But I... And you know what's on the air right now? It's something amazing. It's something beautiful and amazing and really expensive, and that is not what I'm going to get.
Well, because either we're going to get on the air somewhere and it's going to be crap, or we're not going to get on the air anywhere and you'll just get no present this year, because that's a possibility. I don't know about you, Beer Mug, but I think I got about 30 more seconds of patience for waiting around, and then I think we just have to say sorry, Lisa.
Yeah. It's funny because, Bean, you were saying to Lisa off air, you don't like spoiler alerts, but I went on to QVC to see what the item was. Lisa could have used it. Lisa would have liked it.
Really?
It wasn't bad. Yeah.
Since we're not going to get to QVC, what was the item that we would have bought had they allowed us to put them on the air?
The item is the next generation T3 featherweight hair dryer. It looks cool. It's like there's like three settings. It's pink.
You know what?
It's really sweet.
I'm fine.
You like hair dryers, right, Lisa?
I got hair dryers. Okay. I'm good.
You're all fit up.
All right. I am.
All right. Dave,
all right,
King of Mexico. Are
QVC
we,
fail.
are we aborting or what are we doing? What's going on here?
Really, I'm fine. I'm good. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you for the thought.
You're listening to the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. Final Kevin and Bean Show. For Christmas vacation. Got a lot of business to take care of, including helping you make some safe choices if you're buying presents for kids. Everybody has kids on their list, either your own or friends, your family, neighbors, whatever. And every year they come out with a list, Lisa, of dangerous toys. And I'm always surprised year after year because toys seem to be recalled or blacklisted or pulled off shelves for the same reasons every year.
Like, how do they keep getting made and approved and put on the shelves if they've got the same problems as they always
have? Right, the piece is too small and a kid could swallow it.
You know, this past year, the Bucky Balls were finally discontinued. Bucky Balls. You know what those are? Those little – it's like they're – I'm sure you played with them, Beer Mug. It's like a bunch of magnets that you put together, and you can put it in a whole bunch of different shapes and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
What's wrong with those? You can swallow them.
You can swallow them, yeah. And kids have been playing with Bucky Balls for years and years and years, and now no more Bucky Balls because they say they're too dangerous to be sold to kids. And sometimes, I guess, as adults, we just don't look at the things that can go wrong with those purchases for the little kids. And that's why, as a public service each year on the Kevin and Bean Show – we get the information out to you before you do most of your shopping. Dr. Clyde Brennan is on the line. He is with the U.S. Public Interest Research Group. Doctor, welcome. Thank you for the time today, sir.
No, thank you for having me on, Doctor. No, it's a pleasure to be here again.
Dr. Brennan, I don't know if you heard before we brought you on. Why do the same types of problems keep happening with toys year after year after year?
I only wish I knew. It's unbelievable that these toy manufacturers, who supposedly have nothing but fun for the interest of the children, allow these dangerous things to be able to fall into the hands of small kids.
I agree. I mean, the lead levels is something we hear about every year. We were just talking about ingestion hazards. I mean, toys that have little tiny parts that a kid could easily break off and swallow and choke. I mean, it just seems like bad planning if you're talking about toys for children.
And some of them are just poorly conceived, like the Incredible Hulk Avengers Smash Fist. Turns out kids are putting these giant green fists on and punching each other with them.
And isn't that the point of the toy, though? Isn't that why you sell those?
That's what I'm saying. It's a bad idea to something for kids to punch each other in the face with.
Yeah, they just get hurt. I guess you're right. That makes a lot of sense. Well, what should we be looking for? I know, you know, some of the things that I've already seen on the news are, you know, some of the very popular, you know, toys that are out there. But which ones should parents be avoiding right now?
Well, if you look at our list, our 27th annual Trouble in Toyland report, you'll find lots of toys that are inappropriate or dangerous for children on many levels. For example, the Little Driver Drag Race set. Very, very wrong.
Okay, what's the deal with that? I'm not familiar with that.
The drag race set is just a box with fishnet stockings, a bustier, and a set of Nikes in them. You dress up as a woman, and you just race your friends. And that's not the kind of drag racing I grew up on as a child.
That's probably not what the kids think when they see those words on the box either.
Wrong. And we're talking about choking hazards. Choking hazard is a big problem when it comes to toys for kids.
Yes.
That's why I think I cannot recommend Fisher-Price's My First Noose.
Certainly not.
It's just a large rope with a knot in it that goes around your neck.
Why would somebody buy that for a child?
I know. Can you imagine? What are they thinking?
It's a terrible idea.
You know, the characters for children are very popular.
Yes, of course.
Like Dora the Explorer.
Yes.
A lot of those toys are just inappropriate, like Dora Explores her bisexuality playset. I thought that was wrong.
No, that's not age appropriate for
it's
the little kids to play.
A pair of little Birkenstocks and two tickets to a Lilith fair.
Good reference, Doctor.
Thank you. Also inappropriate, in my opinion, are some of the toys that Hasbro's putting out with the Elmo character. All things considered, what's been going on this year, couldn't they take a Christmas off, don't you think?
Yeah, what's going on with Elmo? I mean, that's been a very popular toy for decades now.
Three new Elmo dolls are available this Christmas that I believe are dangerous for children. Roofie me, Elmo. Transport me across state lines, Elmo.
Oh, my God.
No. Nobody needs that.
Get me drunk and examine my prostate, Elmo.
Oh, see, that's not an appropriate gift at all for a child.
That's what I'm saying.
People have got to pay attention more, don't they, Doctor?
And also, kids love celebrities, and they love TV shows, and anything they can see on television, they want to mimic. But I still believe the Whitney Houston bath time playset is wrong.
Don't give them that.
Just a bath tub and an eight ball.
No, that's wrong.
I feel the same way about the Swamp People alligator luggage. I know Swamp People's a popular show, but I bought this to look at it, and it's just a suitcase, and when you open it, there's a live alligator in it.
Okay, that's, again, inappropriate for children. I
lost a testicle.
I'm sorry. You don't generally hear tender acoustic guitar from Blink 182, but that's their very latest, called Boxing Day, on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ, which of course is the day after Christmas in many countries in the world.
Yeah.
Hey, Ralph Garman, time for the showbiz beat now here on a Friday Kevin and Bean show. What's going on with you?
Is it Boxing Day because all your relatives get drunk on Christmas and the next day they all fight each other? Is that why it's called Boxing Day?
I'm not sure that's the origin of the name of the day, but I think that is probably a more accurate description than the real thing anymore.
What's the real reason? Is that when you box up all your Christmas ornaments and presents?
Either that or put all the boxes that everything came in out.
Yeah, something like that, I would imagine. I don't know.
We have no idea, do we?
I don't. I have no idea
why it's called Boxing Day. Bean, you don't know why it's called Boxing Day? The man of 1,000 facts, you don't know.
It is the thing that I normally would know,
yes.
But it's been so many years that I just...
You're right, born in England. That's where Boxing Day comes from.
Here's what it says. This is Wikipedia. Boxing Day, traditionally the day following Christmas Day when servants and tradespeople would receive gifts from their superiors or employers, known as a Christmas box.
Ah.
Today, Boxing Day is better known as a bank or public holiday, occurring on 26th December.
Yeah. So it seems like the rich people would box up all the crap they didn't want. They would re-gift it and give it to the servants.
So.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what Kevin does every year with Linus. Just gives him a box full of crap that other people gave him that he doesn't want anymore. Here's something you are going to want. How's that for a segue?
Good.
The movie Ted on Blu-ray just came out this week. Ted is the biggest money-making R-rated comedy in the history of motion pictures. That's all. That's all that is. That's all that movie is.
It's funny because, look, everyone loves Seth MacFarlane.
Yes.
And we all expected the movie would be funny.
Yes.
Nobody thought it would be one of the biggest movies of all time, right?
Listen, when you've got an S-talking teddy bear who gets drunk and smokes dope and bangs hookers, you got a winner.
Do you ever stop to think about how many millions of people have seen you on film as a result of that movie, Ralph?
I often stop and think about that.
That's heavy duty.
I'm usually touching myself while I'm thinking about it.
Do you get recognized now because of Ted?
I have, yes. People have actually said, aren't you the dad in Ted?
That's cool.
And I'm only on the screen for mere minutes, but yeah, it has been kind of cool. So I'm reaching a whole new audience of people who don't like me now. So that's good. If you'd like to see Ted on Blu-ray or DVD, I have a copy to give away right now. But I am also going to give away, along with it, the limited edition 24-inch Ted talking plush teddy bear. It's a 2-foot-tall Ted. It looks exactly like the Ted we used in the movie while we were making it. Seth would prop up a prototype bear and say, okay, here's your eye line. This is what you're talking to. This is Ted. And then you'd have to work with a stuffed animal. And it looks just like the one we used on the set. It looks just like Ted in the movie. If you would like to own it, don't give it to your kids because it's pretty foul-mouthed. But it's a good time. Blu-ray, DVD of Ted and the doll right now. 1-800-520-1067. Let's say caller number...
yes.
Somebody hit Ralph in the back. I think
caller number 7. 1-800-520-1067.
It's not appropriate for kids, but it is more appropriate than my first noose. I will tell you that.
Yeah, I heard that guy. I'm surprised they're even marketing that.
Yeah, that seems inappropriate.
I'm going to complain to somebody. It's inappropriate. All right. People talking about 12-12-12 still. The star-studded charity concert to raise money for the relief of the victims of Superstorm Sandy. Did anyone else think it was inappropriate for WHO to sing Sandy Wasteland instead of Teenage Wasteland and Bob O'Reilly? Thought that was an odd choice for a lyrical alteration right there.
That was weird.
Sandy Wasteland! Thanks for the reminder.
And Bruce Springsteen, who has a popular song named Sandy, didn't sing that.
How about that? Anyway, Paul McCartney, of course, fronted a reunited Nirvana. The surviving members of Nirvana got together to perform. And the song that they played is called Cut Me Some Slack. This song apparently came about because Dave Grohl invited Sir Paul to join him and Pat and Chris in the studio for the documentary he's making about the legendary recording studio Sound City here in Los Angeles. So they brought everybody together for one day to cut a single song, and that's what they came up with. And they played it live for the first time at the 12-12-12 concert. Here's a little taste in case you missed it.
Bit of of the old, you know, like Helter Skelter vibe, doesn't
absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. Paul McCartney hasn't rocked like that in 20 years.
Yeah.
It's been a while. So. 71 years old, by the way. Still sounds good.
Yeah.
And the premise, and I know this, you know, what I've seen on this documentary just looks amazing, and it really has been a labor of love for Dave Grohl. He's been working on it for a couple of years now, but he takes a lot of the people that have recorded in that studio and does the same thing they did with McCartney, which is write and record a song in one day. So he'll have, there'll be new music in there with him, with Tom Petty, with him, with Neil Young. I mean, it just looks so fun.
That's very cool. Hey, the people at the television, excuse me, the Parents Television Council are at it again. You know, the PTC, this is that right-wing religious group that likes to protest and complain about things.
What have we done now?
Well, Lisa, you're watching that evil, evil show, The Walking Dead.
Yes.
Evil.
Amazing.
Should not be shown.
Great.
The most popular entertainment show on television.
Should not be seen.
Why?
Because it's full of satanic evilness. With the dead rising again and eating people.
Come on.
They're zombies. They're not even real people.
The PTC... which says they have problems with the show, but especially the fact that it's being shown to children, they say.
Oh, you.
Now, the show has a TV-14 rating, which means it's not supposed to be seen by kids under the age of 14. But they say parents are ignoring that and showing, and I quote, some of the most graphic and brutally intense violence and gore imaginable.
Well, we should take everything off of TV then that any child could possibly ever
see.
Nothing
for adults anymore. Nothing ever.
Yeah.
He says, I watched scenes of the cleaving of human skulls with a machete, extreme gun violence, including graphic depictions of blood and brain splattering after gunshot wounds, and the use of a sharpened human bone as a weapon to stab another character. I'm finished now, he said.
He's watched a lot. Yeah,
and he seems to really be into it.
That's how you kill zombies, by the way. They're not making this stuff up.
Oh, that's right. Anyway, they are sending letters of protest.
La, la, la. Nobody cares.
Don't they realize that all they do is make a show more popular once they start complaining about it?
I don't think they've gotten that.
Just ignore it.
I really don't. And Denise Richards may be just the best ex-wife on the planet.
Really?
Yeah. You know Brooke Mueller, Charlie's second ex-wife?
Third.
A third ex-wife?
Yes.
She's back in rehab.
Yeah.
So who's going to watch the twin three-year-olds, Bob and Max, the children that she had with Charlie Sheen? Denise Richards stepped up and said, I'll take them in and I will raise them while you're in rehab.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that is lovely.
Charlie Sheen's the father, right?
Yeah. Sure
Charlie
he hasn't
Sheen's the
stepped
father.
Up, right?
He has not stepped up, no.
Yeah.
But his second ex-wife, Denise Richards, has taken the two girls, the two boys in, along with his two daughters that she has with him, Sam and Lola. And so she's... got the whole family together, which I think is pretty cool.
That's very nice.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays, actor Ted Raimi from the Spider-Man movies. He was also a regular in Xena Warrior Princess. He turns 47 years old today. Actor and singer Jackson Rathbone from the Twilight Saga and Last Airbender, 28 years old. And actress and singer Vanessa Hudgens from High School Musical and Journey 2 and the Mysterious Island. She's 24. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Ship will carry on. Body safe to shore.
Of Monsters and Men on K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. Ralph Garman has the holiday movie beat coming up for us in about 15 minutes. He'll be talking about Django Unchained and Les Mis and The Hobbit. Still a lot of big holiday movies that haven't even come out yet, Lisa.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Feels like the year's almost over, but we still got some big movies still ahead. Also, actor George Takei joins us in a few minutes as well. First, though, as we look back on the year that was 2012, what a year it was for music. Or was it? Let's find out with our friend Joe Levy back on the phone, editor of Billboard Magazine. Hey, Joe, welcome back to the Kevin DeBeach Show, my friend. How are you?
Good to be here. I am well, sir.
Always a pleasure to talk to you. You know, it's very rare that the biggest album of the year is the same as the biggest album of the year before. How often does that happen?
This is a little feat that we will be celebrating this year. Tip of the hat to Adele's 21, not since Thriller. Not since back in the Michael Jackson days have we seen at these year-end Billboard charts, which are based on sales and now based on streaming and all that digital fantasticness. But we've not seen an artist dominate this way since the days of Michael Jackson's Thriller.
And how do you explain that? I mean, except for the obvious that there's nobody who doesn't like Adele, what makes a record come along? And every once in a while you'll see this. You saw this with the Norah Jones album. Hootie and the Blowfish had an album like that. Something just kind of comes out of left field and just keeps on selling, keeps on selling, keeps on selling, and never seems to slow down. Why does that happen?
You know, in the record industry, there's a theory about this, and you mentioned Norah Jones. This is one of the places this theory was born. The thought is that if you can sell to kids and their parents, if you get like 14-year-old girls who love this record and want to buy it for their moms, and moms who want to buy it for their daughters, you've got like a blockbuster on your hands.
Alanis Morissette, she had that one. I mean, the ones that sell like 10, 15 million copies, especially these days, I mean, it's rare to see an album sell even 2 million copies, isn't it, Joe?
That is exactly right. There are fewer and fewer million sellers every year. And, you know, look, it's the record industry. There are fewer and fewer sales of all sorts every year. But here's the thing about Adele, just passed 10 million, the Diamond Award.
Crazy. Speaking of this, speaking of the sales aspect of the music industry, and I know you talk about this a lot in Billboard, where are we in the battle against piracy these days? What's the percentage, if you had to guess, of music that's being legitimately paid for versus the amount of music that's being downloaded?
You know, you can't guess, because that which is not legitimate, you can't measure. You can say that given the health of, say, the concert industry, which had a downturn in 2009 around the time of the big recession, but has come back strong in the last 2 years, you can say when you go out to Coachella, whoa, it looks like a lot of people are here and they all love music. And you could also do the math. All those people are not buying the music that they're consuming.
Right.
You know, we had a flat year 2 years ago in terms of the downturn in record sales, but now we're sliding down again. So...
Look, I follow – I'm a music geek, Joe, and I follow the charts pretty closely, and I'm always interested to see what's moving and what's not. And I am stunned at how little you have to sell now to be the number one album in America.
It depends on the week, to be honest. Right now it's a strong sales season, so you'd have to get up there. But, yeah, you can you could have a top 10 record with far fewer sales than you would 5-10 years ago. You know, sometimes that's a good thing. We get to celebrate – small artists, new artists who make a strong entry on the chart, and we get talking about them. And this was a good year for new artists. This was a really good year. The three top singles on our singles list, year-end singles list, all from new artists, which, by the way, talking about historical geekery, has not happened since 1956.
Wow.
Who had the two top spots was a young comer by the name of Elvis Presley.
Not familiar with Mr. Presley's work, but I'm sure he's very good. Our listeners might be interested. What are the three biggest pop songs of 2012?
Well, these are the three biggest songs, period, of 2012, and that would be Godier's Somebody That I Used to Know, Carly Rae Jepsen's Call Me Maybe, and Fun's We Are Young.
And isn't that interesting that K-Rock even played two out of those three? I mean, it seems like we've had a little bit of a resurgence in rock. We certainly saw this with the Grammy nominations the other night when we saw, you know, everybody from Jack White to Muse to M83 to Fun. I mean, a lot of our music, it seems like, and it doesn't always happen this way.
The Black Keys, who had a huge year.
And the Black Keys, yeah. Did your year-end number crunching kind of support that also, that this was a pretty decent year for rock going mainstream?
No, actually, it did. Up in the newer, and by the way, surprise breakthroughs all through the year, like the Lumineers, who have a top 10 single on the Hot 100, you know, they're rubbing shoulders with Rihanna, which is not something I would have predicted at the top of the year.
Yeah.
Right.
It's a good year, yes. Good year for rock albums, good year for rock artists in general, but pop still dominates. There's no way around it.
Are there any, and I don't know if you cover this in the year-end issue, but did you talk about disappointments at all? People that there were expectations that they would sell a lot of copies and just it just fell super flat for them?
Oh, geez. You're bringing me down, man.
I know. This is, this is the time of year we're supposed to all be happy and happy about it.
Celebration time. No, actually, we looked at the top sellers. We didn't really clock the disappointments. What are you thinking of? Who are you? Well, who's come to mind?
Well, the first thing I thought of was, just because it's been in the news this week so much, is Kesha, who just was so huge the first time around, and it seems like nobody cared that she put out a new record. It just seems like that just barely made a blip.
And nobody seems to have cared. She sold under 100,000 of the album, though she's still selling singles, which is what happens with this kind of pop artist. You look at, by the way, where'd she get her start? Singing the hook on a Flo Rida song. Flo Rida is a guy who puts out a single, could sell 1 or 2 million copies of that single, and I doubt he's passed on his record 500,000 copies in months. Nobody wants to buy the Flo Rida album. On the other hand, sometimes you think, I could really use about 4 minutes and 30 seconds of Flo Rida right now.
I will tell you, Joe, and tell me if you disagree with this or not. I think that people are always – so nostalgic about music in the old days. Whatever era is their sweet spot, they think that's when things were best. That's when the music was good, as they say. I feel like every time is the greatest time ever for music. I feel like there's more great music being made all the time than ever before. It's just harder to find. It's just harder to figure out a way to narrow it down so that you can get it in front of you.
You know, in some – yes. First off, yes, I'm with you. I'm always excited, and it's not just the coffee talking. I always find new records, and of course, you and I both, there's so much coming at us. There's always people sending us records, but the interesting thing is it's almost not harder. YouTube makes it easy. Spotify makes it easy. All these things make it so easy to hear new records, and you look at the breakthrough of some new acts this year, like Group Love, Monsters and Men, mm-hmm. Fun, you know. These are acts who did really well on our year-end charts. They're all new. It's a new sound. It's not the same thing we've been hearing over the last 2 or 3 years. And I feel good about that. I feel like, you know, when these kinds of artists can get the exposure they have this year, we've got something to feel happy about.
I agree. And I'll tell you what, all of those acts that you mentioned, you know, we have them at K-Rock shows, a bunch of them at this the Almost Acoustic Christmas shows that we just had this past weekend. And a group like Group Love, they're not just a studio manufactured thing. I mean, they are great live musicians, and they put on a party when they have a show, and they seem like the type of act that has the, you know, that has the talent that they're going to stick around for a while, which is also great.
Absolutely right. In both rock and hip-hop right now, the way that a lot of artists are breaking is the old-fashioned way. You go out on the road, you build an audience, you start filling a club, maybe you fill a hall, and then all of a sudden you've got attention and a single that's working.
This is the voice of Joe Levy. He's the editor of Billboard magazine, talking about the year in music for 2012. Let me ask you one more question, Joe, before we say goodbye. I sense that One Direction has already peaked and they're on the way down, and there'll be trivia questions in a year. Am I wrong?
Oh my God. There's so many heartbroken 12-year-old girls listening to the radio right now. Why are they not in school? You know, it's hard to say. One Direction had a little historical moment. They placed not one but two albums at number one on the Billboard charts in the space of 12 months. That's a lot of activity. They've got a huge tour next year. They're definitely with us for 12 more months. They've definitely got another year. But I got to say, I think in 3 or 4 years, and this is what happens with these boy bands, we're going to be saying, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I remember them.
Yeah.
Billboard.com. Check out so much more on this topic and everything going on in the music business. You can follow Joe on Twitter at RealJoeLevy. Always great to catch up with you. Have a wonderful holiday season. We'll talk to you in 2013, Joe.
Looking forward to it.
Now the song just sounds wrong when Gwen Stefani isn't singing on it. What's up with that?
Where's that hot chick? Where's she?
It's Friday on the Kevin and Bean Show. Actor George Takei joins us in minutes here on K-Rock. First, though, Ralph is here. It's time for a very special edition, the Holiday Movie Beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
Welcome to my world.
Yeah, would have killed somebody to slap some jingle bells on top of that intro or something. Could we have tarted that up?
Spruce it up a little bit.
Tarted up a little bit for the holiday. A lot of Christmas time blockbusters coming out in the next couple of weeks. And as you know, this is our last show before we go on vacation. So rather than doing a standard movie beat about what's coming up this weekend, we wanted to take an overview of the Christmas holiday season and give you an idea of some of the big movies that you may want to check out at the Cineplexes. Starting off with a movie that does open this weekend. It's open everywhere today. It is the story of Bilbo Baggins, a curious little hobbit who has to journey to Lonely Mountain with a vigorous group of dwarves. Or, as I like to call it, Saturday Night at Lisa's House. The Hobbit, An Unexpected Journey, directed by Peter Jackson, starring Martin Freeman. Ian McKellen returns as Gandalf. Andy Serkis returns as Gollum. This just looks like more of the same from the same people. So if you liked The Lord of the Rings and stuff, yeah, odds are you'll like The Hobbit. Here's a little scene from The Hobbit.
In the middle of the earth, in the land of Shire, lives a brave little hobbit whom we all admire. With his long wooden pipe, fuzzy wooden toes. He lives in a hobbit hole and everybody knows.
That's not from Bilbo.
That's not from the
Bilbo
movie, Ralph.
Baggins.
That's not from the
hobbit look from all.
That's not a clip
Big
from the film, bro.
Bilbo Baggins, greatest little hobbit of them all.
I don't know what that is, but it's not from the movie.
That's actually Leonard Nimoy's classic song, The Ballad of Bilbo Baggins. Yeah, my bad. Here's the actual clip.
My name is Bilbo Baggins.
Bagginses? What is a Bagginses, precious?
I'm a hobbit from the Shire.
Oh, we like goblinses, bats, and fishes, but we haven't tried hobbinses before. Is it soft? Is it juicy?
No! No!
It does sound like a Saturday Night at Lisa's House.
Yeah, it really does.
Also, am I wrong, Ralph, that I'm scared off by it being three movies? Like, I'd be really excited about if it were just one and I could revisit my Lord of the Rings. But if it's three, I feel like that's too much commitment.
You are not a Tolkienite.
No, I'm not. I'm definitely not.
And those who love these books are very excited that he's expanding the story into three. Jack Reacher opens up this weekend. Not to be confused with Jack Reacherround, which is in the porn version of this. Tom Cruise stars as a homicide investigator digging into a case involving a trained military sniper. Rosamund Pike also stars in the film. I love her. I've loved her since the James Bond movie that she was in with Pierce Brosnan. She is delicious. She plays a lawyer in this film. And in this scene, Jack is speaking to a kidnapper who has kidnapped Rosamund Pike.
Helen, are you hurt?
Well, she's got to be if you're not here in 1 hour. Do I have to tell you how this works?
Well, I could do one better. I went down to the gun range.
I have a picture, prints, and I'm going to the feds. The
lawyer's all yours.
A second thought.
But I'd like to kill you.
Listen to me.
If you're not here in 1 hour...
Wow, he's tough.
Wow.
Tom Cruise is tough. And that wasn't even from the movie. That's him talking to Suri on the phone. Also, Les Miserables opens up on Christmas Day, December the 25th. Hugh Jackman, Russell Crowe, Anne Hathaway, Helena Bonham Carter. You will be swept away, my friends, to 19th century France. The story of Jean Valjean, who for decades is hunted by the ruthless policeman Javert. Just for stealing a loaf of bread. Oh, my God. What's a fella going to do to feed his family? Look, I know. This makes me a bit of a mo, but I'm really looking forward to this movie. I love the Broadway musical. I love the music in this film. Love all the stars. It looks like it's well put together. Director Tom Hooper is super talented. Here's a little taste of Anne Hathaway singing in Les Mis.
So different from this hell I'm living. So different now from what it seems. Kill a dream I dream.
Come on, don't you get chills when you
yes,
hear that?
Yes, I'm a little teary-eyed.
I wish Kevin were here today, because how funny would it be to hear how much he's going to hate that movie?
This is BS. This is garbage.
Why does Kevin hate
Les Mis?
There's no way in a billion years you could talk Kevin into going to see that movie.
Maybe his wife will roofie him and drag him in the trunk of the car and get him there. And lastly, one of the films I'm most excited about, also opening up on Christmas Day, is Django Unchained.
Yes.
Listen, you can say what you want about Quentin Tarantino. Some people say his films are derivative, that he basically remakes genres of films that he likes, whether it's a kung fu movie or the blaxploitation movie or gangster movies. All right, maybe there's some truth in that. But he also is revisiting genres that no one else is making anymore. He's reintroducing new audiences to a new breed of film. And if they go back and look at the old ones, then even better. Django Unchained is basically a blaxploitation film, but also an historical action film. It's about a slave turned bounty hunter when he is set free, and he finds a mentor in Christoph Waltz. Jamie Foxx is Django, and they set out to rescue his wife from a brutal plantation owner played by Leonardo DiCaprio. Or, as Ken would say, Leonardo DiCaprio. Here are some clips from the trailer of Django Unchained.
Do you know what a bounty hunter is?
You kill people, and they give you rewards.
I'm looking for the Brittle Brothers. However, I don't know what they look like, but you do.
They caught my wife, and they sold her, but I don't know who to.
I need your help.
If you do this,
I'll take you to rescue your wife.
Where are we going?
How do you like the bounty hunting business?
Kill white folks and they pay you for it? What's not to like?
Yeah, kill white folks and they pay you for it? What's not to like? Do not see this movie in a Magic Johnson theater. I'm telling you, you will not make it out of the matinee. Go. If you're white, go to someplace safe. Go to Sherman Oaks or something. For God's sakes, take care of yourselves, people. This movie looks awesome. It's got everything you want in a Quentin Tarantino film. This ultra violence, the cool characters, snappy dialogue. I, for one, can't wait to check it out this weekend. Those are your big films coming out over the blockbuster holiday season. I wish everybody a very Merry Christmas. I'm Ralph Garman, and I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman.
Ralph Garman.
Movie beat.
To the Kevin and Bean Show.
Yeah, this is bullshit.
K-Rock.
There it is, one of the best TV theme songs of all time. Hawaii Five-0, Monday nights at 10 on CBS. Lisa May, very special episode this coming Monday night. You know who the guest star is going to be?
Lisa's just stepped in. Lisa just stepped in. There she is.
How difficult is it for you to stay in the room, Lisa?
I forgot about the song.
The great George Takei. George Takei returns to Hawaii Five-0. It's been 37 years since the last time he was on that show back in the 70s. He'll be on this Monday night, and we are always pleased to welcome Mr. Takei back to the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, George. Merry Christmas to you, my friend.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing great. What year were you on the original Hawaii Five-0 with the great Jack Lord?
They tell me it was 37 years ago.
Oh, wow. Oh, my
God.
But, I can't give you the date and the year, but I have fond memories of that. It was great fun working on it. Did you see the Groucho Marx mustache I had on for that?
I saw a picture of it. I did. It was awesome.
Isn't that something?
Yes.
The only thing missing are those horn-rimmed glasses.
Now, I know that you get invitations and offers to be on a lot of shows. Of course, we saw you even this year on Celebrity Apprentice as yourself. But why did you decide to say yes to Hawaii Five-0? Just because of the symmetry of, hey, I did it back in the day, I want to do it again?
Well, I love the show. You know, I loved it back then. And I've been an addict of the new version, the current version of Hawaii Five-0, and when I got the invitation to come back, I was torn because I was doing a musical titled Allegiance in San Diego at the Old Globe Theater, a rather somber, dark chapter of American history, the internment of Japanese Americans during the Second World War. So there was a little tightness of scheduling there, but because we were extended in San Diego. But we finished just in time, and so I was able to fly to Hawaii and squeeze that in. So I was really glad that I was able to eat my cake and have it, too.
Hey, free trip to Hawaii, too. Nothing wrong with that, right, George?
Oh, it was gorgeous, you know, because Hawaii Five-0 is more primarily an urban setting, you know, in Honolulu.
Yeah.
Gritty city streets or dark alleyways or beautiful mansions in Waikiki. But for this one, we went on location to the north side of Oahu to the Kaava Valley. Beautiful, lush rainforest. And, you know, with those jagged peak mountain ranges with the ridges cascading down volcanic striations and verdant, lush green, beautiful setting.
You are painting quite a picture here. I'm getting a little aroused. I got to be honest, George, just to hear you using some of those words on the radio.
Well,
we should
get aroused by that beauty there. Voluptuous mountains.
All right. I need a hand check. George, one of the reasons I love having you on this show is, first of all, you're a fascinating guy. You never seem to stop working. And additionally to this, and I mean this with all sincerity, you seem like genuinely the happiest person in the world. You always seem like you're having a good time and just grateful and happy to be alive and working.
Well, you know, what's the alternative? I mean, I'd much rather be happy and working and enjoying life and meeting a lot of people and with different interesting backgrounds than the opposite.
Yeah.
Right. Good point.
But there are so many people, particularly people who have, you know, lived as long as you have, who are just bitter and angry and just
you
depressed.
You make me sound like an old codger living in some senior residence.
But that's what you expect from people, you know, when they get to a certain age. But you just seem like a guy who's out there just taking on all challenges and just doing new things. And, I mean, you know, it's just I'm just saying I admire it very much, the zest that you have for life.
Well, I take very seriously that Star Trek thing to boldly go where no one has gone before.
Yes,
many people have gone where, you know, I never have gone, And the thing is to be venturesome, you know, to look forward to new experiences, to meet new people, and take chances. You got to take chances in life.
And I admire that very much.
I went on the Howard Stern show. Mm-hmm. Some of my more staid friends said, oh, no, that is such a disgusting man. I would never, you know. But I did it, and it was a lot of fun. I did, well, fun plus some challenges as well.
Yes. And you genuinely seem to, I mean, look, he's coming from a warm place. He's not trying to hurt you. He's not trying to be mean. He's just trying to have
fun
with you.
He's a great guy.
And you understand that, and you guys seem to genuinely be friends, and that's one of the things I enjoy about hearing you on his show, too.
Well, we like each other.
Yeah, yeah. And who would have ever thought, George, I mean, you know, 20 years ago even, you wouldn't have expected that at this point in your life you would be an activist, basically, for marriage equality. You wouldn't have thought that that was going to be something that would be taking up a major part of your life either, right?
You know, there are so many things in my life that I never expected to be doing. That just happens, you know. And it, as you all know, I've been closeted for a long, long time, you know.
Mm-hmm. But,
you know, I've been quietly out for a long, long time, too.
Mm-hmm.
And when I came out, first of all, it was a great liberating feeling to be able to truly be myself. But it was a great risk there again. I mean, boldly go where, you know, I hadn't been before.
Sure.
And there were people that said it was an unwise move. But you do it and you make new discoveries, you know.
Yes.
At first, certainly I knew I was gay, but the challenges that I can deal with, and certainly the inequality in our society is one that I felt I wanted to speak out on.
Has it hurt? Did it hurt you at all to come out in terms of your fan base, in terms of popularity? Do you think you lost Mr. Sulu fans because now they found out the actor was gay?
You know, I think I've gained people, fans, supporters, and friends as a result of it. I may have lost a few, and that's always the price of taking risks. You know, you lose something, but you gain, I think, ultimately, you gain a lot more. And it's been a wonderful opportunity to be able to participate in bringing about change, because that's what America is all about, you know, expanding freedom and equality and justice. You know, there was a time when the nation was founded when great men who articulated great ideals of this country, the shining ideals of this country, kept other human beings as slaves.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
Now, 200-plus years later, we have an African-American as the President of the United States.
Yeah,
women
it's a wonderful
had no
story.
Rights then. And here we've got women
well,
running.
We were
up.
Hasty on that. We were very hasty on allowing the women the right to run and serve. Hey, George, this is the voice of our friend George Takei here on the Kevin and Bean Show, appearing on Hawaii 5-0 next Monday night at 10 on CBS. I know we only have 2 minutes left here in the interview with your very busy schedule, but I have to ask, because I know that you were planning on taking Donald Trump, your friend from The Celebrity Apprentice, out to lunch. You were going to try to change his mind on marriage equality. He's been outspoken against it. Did that lunch happen, and how did it go?
It happened. Now it's, I guess, about 2 weeks, 10 days ago.
Okay.
It was a very, very nice lunch. I always enjoy getting together with Mr. Trump. And he was singing a whole different tune. We began the conversation by his telling me he went to a gay wedding. And I said, you know, gay wedding sounds so exotic. Actually, you know, I mean, it sounds like we ought to have a champagne fountain with Liza Minnelli singing on top of it, you know. It's a wedding. And he said, yes, it was, and it was a beautiful wedding. And his son and daughters are both supporters of marriage equality. Ivanka's participated in fundraisers, and most importantly, for a savvy businessman like Donald Trump, New York has marriage equality.
So do you think you're close to changing the old man's mind, George?
I can say definitely he is, like our president had been, he is evolving, and it won't be too long before he feels comfortable about making a public statement.
That's fantastic.
Everything that we talked about led me to think that.
That's fantastic. That's great news. Hawaii 5-0, Monday nights at 10 on CBS. This week's special guest star will be the great George Takei. Always wonderful to have you on the show. I hope you and your husband have a fantastic holiday season, George. We'll talk to you next year, my friend.
Live long and prosper.
Mr. Skin joins us after the top of the hour here on the world-famous K-Rock, talking about the best nude scenes of 2012 on TV and in the movies. Then we're going to talk to Cousin Sal about football. By the way, Rob, speaking of football, you're at the point now where it's good news if the Eagles lose, right? Like last night?
Yeah.
That's what you want. You're just looking for draft picks at this point, right?
Draft picks. Yeah.
Yeah, just throw it away.
Now we're playing coach roulette. Who's going to be stepping in?
Exactly. So a big hour straight ahead in the final chapter of Trapped in the Closet, episode 33. All of that next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Now, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. Good morning.
Good morning. You know, all week long I've been talking about what eager beavers the police are, how they're too willing to step in before criminals have a chance to actually commit their crime.
Yeah, so it's like the thought police. It's getting more like communism, doing this and doing that, right?
It is. There was that guy who hacked those photos of Carly Rae Jepsen. Who had the nude photos of hers that he hacked from her computer. They stepped in. The Vancouver police nabbed him before he could sell those pictures, so we'll never see those. Then you had the guy who wanted to murder and castrate Justin Bieber. That plan was foiled. And now we hear this. This is ridiculous.
Another one?
A 24-year-old man was arrested for trespassing at Taylor Swift's home this morning.
Well, what's your complaint there? I mean, that's against the law to trespass.
Yeah, but let's hold on. Let's see what the guy had in mind. What's the worst that could happen? What's the worst thing that could happen?
Oh, I don't know. That somebody gets killed?
Right. That's what I'm saying. What's the worst thing that could happen, though? That's the best thing. What's the worst thing that can happen?
So why just assume he was going to do harm to Taylor Swift if you could wait around and find out? Is that what you're saying?
That's right. Let's know for sure.
How dare you?
Jacob Kulk was arrested at 1:45 a.m. Nothing good happens after 1:45 a.m., I've always said that. But a lot of good happens after 1:45 a.m. He was arrested at 1:45 a.m. for allegedly hopping a fence at her property. He was detained by security when police arrived. He told them he was... Anyone fill in the blank?
Got to be her husband, right?
Boyfriend. Boyfriend.
Okay, all right. Swift.
Yeah. And he told police he took the bus all the way from Wisconsin to be with her birthday. These cops have no heart. Her boyfriend takes a bus all the way from Wisconsin to be with her on her birthday, and they arrest him.
Look,
it's unclear whether Tadoff Switler was at home.
She's in England with her actual boyfriend, with the kid from One Direction.
Apparently not, because her actual boyfriend was over the fence looking for her. Taylor! He was booked into jail and held on $10,000 bond. He has a bit of a criminal past, too, they found out. He was convicted of battery, disorderly conduct, and drug possession in Wisconsin back in 2010 and placed on 13 months probation. So maybe he's trying to patch things up with his girlfriend, that's all.
Yeah. And the police, man, they're murderers of love is what they are.
That's what they are.
They just step in there and try to keep good people apart.
Let alone! In the news, things may not be all so bleak for Lindsay after all. Someone is willing to step in and pay off what she owes on that storage locker full of personal belongings.
It's you, though, right? You're stepping in. You'd buy it.
It's not me. Someone will pay the back rent on her storage facility so that she can hold on to her personal belongings. They won't be auctioned off. And the same said Good Samaritan is going to be willing to pay her rent for her Beverly Hills mansion, her leased Beverly Hills mansion for the next couple of months.
What's the catch here, Ralph?
Well, the person who's volunteering all this cash is the legendary Scores Strip Club in New York City, offering to come forward for Lindsay's rescue. But here's the thing. They'll foot the entire bill if she's willing to do some work for their online site, scoreslive.com. Now, the work isn't what you think it is. Scores says it wants her to serve as an online video chat host for his website. Doesn't say how many chats they would require of her, but the job does not require nudity. She doesn't have to strip down. She doesn't have to work the pole or anything. She just has to be the high-profile host of their online chat website. Mm-hmm. And for that exchange, they will pay off her storage locker and pay the rent on her Beverly Hills mansion that she has leased for the next couple of months. Come on! That's a good deal!
Yeah,
she's not going to do it. She still considers that she's an actress and that will stand in the way of her getting legitimate work.
Well, she better start like horning up and making some money or else she's in big, big trouble.
That sounds more like the kind of thing you could get Octobomb to do, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Than Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah, doesn't sound like she's going to take it. But who knows what's in that storage locker? It could be whatever's in there is controversial enough, personal enough to her that she might just lower her standards in order to save it.
Yeah.
because I'm sure she doesn't want whatever's in there to get in the hands of someone else. Yeah. That'd be then more embarrassing than doing the scoreslive.com chat.
Then why would you let the rent lapse on that for years? Why, if you knew you had something in there,
wouldn't you put it
someplace else?
Lindsay just has so much personal responsibility, makes such good choices in her life. I can't imagine how she would let this one thing slip through the cracks, Bean. You're right. I'm sure pay rent on storage lockers right at the top of her to-do list that's posted on her fridge.
Why is Lindsay Lohan not making good choices all of a sudden, Ralph?
Today's celebrity birthdays, actress Vanessa Hudgens from High School Musicals. She is 24 years old today.
You know what's in her storage unit?
Yeah,
hair.
Right. A bunch of unused razors. Twilight Saga star Jackson Rathbone is 28 years old today. And actor Ted Raimi. You know him as a regular from Xena, Warrior Princess, and also the Spider-Man movies. Let's see, Ted Raimi was in the Spider-Man movies. Who directed the Spider-Man movies?
I believe that was director Sam
Raimi. Sam Raimi, Ralph. I wonder if there's any connection between these two fellas.
No.
Ted's actually a good actor and a good guy. 47 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Muggs, we just dropped again.
What?
No.
We're on. We just dropped again.
You're on, dude.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Oh, we're on the air now?
Yeah, right now.
Oh, how about that? We lost our connection there during the song. So I was just dialing back in to let you know we were back. All right. Hey, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Friday morning. You can tell we're ready for vacation. It's 8:11. Hit it, Steve.
Mr. Skin, Mr. Skin, MrSkin.com.
Mr. Skin, MrSkin.com, greatest human that ever lived. Welcome back to the show, my friend. How are you?
Hey, Bean and Lisa May. How you guys doing?
Hi, we're good.
Sorry, I had a little bit of a technical problem right there at the beginning, but I'm so delighted to have you on because once again we are at the end of another year, 2012. Was it a skimpressive year in movie nudity, Mr. Skin?
Yeah, you know what? There's no bad years anymore because there's so many great TV shows for nudity now on HBO, Showtime, even the Starz Network has stepped it up. So when I do a year-end compilation, like in my first, like I've been running this website for over 13 years, maybe the first 7 years, you know, it was mostly from television, but it was mostly from movies. But then now there's so many great shows on TV that my year-end top tens combine the two, and it's like my 11 through 20 list would be as good as the early days of the website, and that just proves that the top tens now are so good.
Yeah, and let's face it, the cable channels, I mean, they know what draws eyeballs, and that's why shows like Magic City and Californication and shows like Come Along, they're not afraid to put some boobs in it because, frankly, it works.
What's funny is, like, you know, with my wife, like, the shows we sit down and watch, like Game of Thrones, Boardwalk Empire, Homeland, all are great shows that we'd watch whether they had nudity or not, yet they throw in fantastic nudity as a bonus. So it just makes TV viewing so much better than it used to be.
Well, you can find the complete top 10 celebrity nude scenes of 2012 at MrSkin.com. Unfortunately, we're not going to have time to go through all of them. So let's look at the top five. I have a real skin ability to keep up with everything that's in theaters and on TV, and that's why your service is wonderful, Mr. Skin. Who's number five this year for 2012?
Well, number five's a girl I've been asked for many, many years. Guys wanting to know, has Olivia Munn ever done a nude scene? And the answer was always no until the chick flick Magic Mike, which came out in 2012. And in the first 2 minutes, Olivia Munn is finally topless. And, you know, this is one of those movies that a lot of guys shied away from because it's really a movie that women would go to see all the nude dudes. But in the first 2 minutes, Olivia Munn, who's best known for the host of Attack of the Show, she's on Sloan on HBO's Newsroom, makes her nude debut. And it's always great when a famous woman does a nude scene, even bigger when it's a nude debut.
I had no idea, with all the talk about Magic Mike being one of the biggest movie hits of the year, I never heard that Olivia Munn was topless in that movie. You're absolutely right. That got completely lost because of Matthew McConaughey.
By the way, rent this movie, you only have to watch the first 2 minutes.
And by the way, I know we won't see any nudity because it's on Fox, but you know she's got an arc on The New Girl right now where she's playing a stripper. Well, that's not all bad either. All right, number four is another movie, Mr. Skin, that is getting a tremendous amount of talk here in the awards season.
Yeah, well, Helen Hunt in The Sessions is my fourth best nude scene of 2012. And, you know, she's best known as playing Jamie on Mad About You for all those years. And, you know, this is a very daring nude scene. She's 49 years old. She plays a sex surrogate, and this guy is he's John Hawks is bedridden. He's attached to an iron lung. He's been, you know, never had sex. So they hire a sex surrogate to come in and help the guy out. Well, here it is, you know, Helen Hunt, who is completely, and I'm not talking just breasts. I'm talking complete nudity here. And for 49 years old, whether she's 49 or not, she looks fantastic.
She does. I saw the movie, and she's and she is so naked.
Oh my God! Yeah,
several times.
Yeah, and I you know, she's getting Oscar buzz for this, and she probably could have maybe just faked it, shown it from the back or something, but she went full on nude, and I got to give her credit. She looked great, and I put her at number four of the best nude scenes of the year.
And as an Oscar winner who doesn't have to do roles like this, she did it because she thought it served the story, and by all accounts, it's a great movie, too. All right, number three is an actress who I don't know by name, but I do watch the show episodes that she's on. Tell me about this.
Yeah, it's a crazy scene. Her name's Sophie Rundell, and Episodes is a show on Showtime, and Matt LeBlanc from Friends plays Matt LeBlanc, and there's a very funny storyline going with this girl that's a stalker of Matt LeBlanc, played by Sophie Rundell. And Matt LeBlanc's not home. She breaks into his house through a window, takes off all her clothes, and starts baking cookies. And he walks in and hears this girl completely naked baking cookies. And by the way, Bean, those are real, which makes this even more
amazing. And nobody has a stalker that looks like that, Mr. Skin.
Yeah,
nobody.
Only on television in a comedy would you have a stalker that looked that hot. And this, in real life, she's British, so she has a British accent. She's faking it for the show. I just think she's spectacular, and this will definitely be in heavy consideration for Best Breasts when I do the Anatomy Awards around Oscar time.
Fantastic. All right, we're talking to Mr. Skin from MrSkin.com here on the Kevin Bean Show, talking about the top five nude scenes of 2012. We're up to, I mean, wow, number two. This is a dream come true, right?
Yeah, this was amazing. It's Michelle Williams and Sarah Silverman in their incredible shower scene in Take This Waltz. And we knew when this movie was coming out in the summer. I had some skin scouts that saw this movie, and they breathlessly reported that you will not believe Sarah Silverman the amount of nudity in this. But until you actually see this scene where the girls are in the shower completely naked in great lighting, just talking, shaving their legs, shampooing, how amazing this nude scene is. And what, you know, I've had people make comments pro and con about, you know, how Sarah Silverman looks. But if you just look at this from the standpoint, if Sarah Silverman never had so much as a nip slip in her career, and this is without question the most graphic celebrity nude scene of 2012. If you haven't seen this, it's just amazing.
I saw this too, and that scene goes on for a long time.
I know. It really is. It was very daring, very, very daring. Yeah.
The film is called Take This Waltz, if you missed it. And what's beautiful about it is it's two stars at the same time that you get full frontal nudity from, and that doesn't happen very often in any movies. All right, Mr. Skin, number one, what is your top number one celebrity nude scene of 2012?
Of everything I saw, what I considered the best nude scene of 2012 is Ashley Hinshaw in a movie called About Cherry. Now, she plays a girl from a broken home who heads to San Francisco to get into the porn industry, where she meets James Franco, a sleazy lawyer, and Heather Graham, a porn director. In this scene, Heather Graham is directing Ashley to do like a schoolgirl fantasy thing with the pigtails and the plaid skirt. Now, in real life, to show you how beautiful this girl is, she's an Abercrombie & Fitch model, or had been for like 5 years. She's only 23 years old. She's drop-dead gorgeous. And there's something about a model being nude in a movie. It just always is a notch above a regular actress in how they look. And this one just blew me away. And everyone that's seen this, and I don't know how many people have seen the movie, agree that this is just fantastic.
How was the film? Was the movie worth seeing besides that scene with Ashley Hinshaw?
Yeah, I mean, okay, let me tell you this, Bean. She's naked five times in the movie. Does that say enough about it?
Done. Well,
if you ever get a little bored during the movie, there's an Ashley Hinshaw nude scene. So the answer is yes, it's definitely worth watching.
It is a great list at MrSkin.com, like it always is. I wish we had time for all of them, but our listeners should definitely check it out. And check out the you just posted the top three new nude stars of the year, and you've got all sorts of other great lists.
Newcomers of the year, so we have lots going on at the website today.
Well, you continue to do the Lord's work out there, Mr. Skin. Thank you for all your support in 2012. We'll look forward to talking to you again next year, all right?
All right. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Hey, party people, welcome into the Kevin and Bean Show for a Friday. We'll take a look at the final chapter of R. Kelly's Trapped in the Closet coming up next here on the show. First, though, how about our old friend Cousin Sal? He, of course, writes for Grantland.com. Follow him on Twitter at TheCousinSal. Calls in every Friday for NFL Talk. Hey, Sal, how are you, buddy?
What's happening, fellas? What are you doing?
I want to know if these junk Thursday night games are going to continue next year, or will the NFL wise up and realize it's a failed experiment and stop it already?
No way. No, they won't stop it. And you're right, it is junk. I mean, it is. It's funny, I wrote in the Grantland column today about how Thursday used to be must-see TV with Cosby and dancing and Jay Fox, and now it is just miserable. It is must-see minus TV at the best. But yeah. I think they're going to split it out even more. They experimented with a Tuesday night game. I don't know if you remember a couple of years ago when there was some snow issues, and they want to spread it all over the board.
And meanwhile, because of the Thursday thing, not to get off on a tangent here because we don't have much time, but they're taking away almost all of the Saturday NFL playoff games that we have been come to enjoy over the past few seasons. There's only one, I think, of the whole year this year, right?
Yeah, well, the Thursday nights are over. Yeah, the Saturday kicks back up next week and then the week after. But yeah.
Yeah, I don't like it. I don't like it at all. Well, you got spanked last week. I can't believe you're going to talk about the Ravens again today after what they did to you not beating the Redskins last week. But what do you like for Baltimore this year?
You know, I don't know. I'm going against the grain a little here. The Broncos are the gambler's darling lately, and it's very tough to go against Peyton Manning at this point. He's got 30 touchdowns. It's way better than anyone who had neck replacement surgery would imagine. Yeah, he has a completely different neck. You didn't know that. He actually has Anne Hathaway's neck right now. But it's funny, being Raven safety Ed Reed said it best yesterday when he said, "This is by far one of those years." I agree. It's not even close to not being one of those years. He's right. But the Ravens fired their offensive coordinator. They're in panic mode. Gut feeling, I think they pull it out in an ugly game, 16-14. I'd say Ravens take the 3 points.
That's amazing to hear you say that. How many has Peyton won in a row? Isn't it like 8 or 9 right now?
He's on fire. It's a dumb thing to bet against him. But listen, Mr. Skin gives you a boner, I'm going to make you some money. This is what this is about.
All right. Houston, now they had a very disappointing showing against New England last week. You've got them with the Colts. That's the game you're talking about now. What's up?
Yeah, and it's a tough one because Andrew Luck has been phenomenal for the Colts. He's done everything you want from a rookie. The team is 9-4. I just don't like the Colts in this spot. Like, Luck has been sacked 10 times in the last 3 games. I think it's going to get worse. Indy has a couple of linemen out. This normally effective Texans pass rush has something to prove after getting demolished Monday by New England. I know you saw that. Also, the Colts with leukemia, completely cured.
What?
He entered a triathlon yesterday. He gave up his kidney to a groundskeeper. There's no reason to play hard for that guy. So
he seems like he has been the inspirational poster boy in the locker room for the Colts. I mean, it does seem like they didn't have enough already going right. It seems like that was the spark they needed to get out there and win one for the guy, right?
I know. It's unfair. If there's not a tragedy or a horrible health condition, no one really steps up to this league anymore. But I think the Texans bust out. They win the division 30-17. Take Houston, given the 8.5 points.
Hey, which NFL team is going to have the tragedy of the weekend? Is there a way you can bet on that, Cousin Sal?
Damn it, I should have added that to my stupid problem.
I mean, seriously, it was the Chiefs and then it was the Cowboys? I'm just wondering to see which team is going to have trouble this weekend. All right, the final game, two teams that are going in absolutely the opposite directions. The Packers, who looked great the other night. The Bears, not so much. What's up?
You hit it on the head, and they are going in opposite directions. Packers, I want to say this is where they make their move, but they've quietly been making their move. They've won 7 out of 8 games. The Bears have lost 4 out of 5. Different directions. Packers get Clay Matthews back on defense. That's big. Hopefully Jordy Nelson at wide receiver. The Bears, Brian Urlacher is out. Their kicker is out. They're a mess. They already have a miserable time protecting their quarterback, Jay Cutler. I actually think they don't want to protect him. He seems like a tremendous a-hole. But if this is a sucker bet, given 3, screw it, I'm sucking. Packers -3 over the Bears, 27-16, give the 3 points.
And I'll say this, when I was watching the Packers last Sunday night, no team is happier to play in the snow. It just seems like it, and I know the Bears, you know, they play their fair share of games, you know, cold weather games too, but doesn't it just seem like the Packers just love it when it snows?
Yeah, they're like 6-year-olds. They've been dressed up, they got the mittens on, and they're pushed out the front door and go have fun. Yeah.
All right,
let me
Packers.
Just, before I get going, yeah. let me because I know this is something you would be interested in, Dean. Okay. Last night, Carson Daly was on Jimmy Kimmel Live, and I presented, it drives Carson crazy every time. I have a list of top 20 most recognizable MTV-born celebrities of all time, and I do not put Carson in that top 20. It just drives them nuts. Go on YouTube and watch it. I presented the new list. With Carson right there. So.
Oh, that's very, very funny. All right, you can check that out, or you can check it on the Jimmy Kimmel Live website. Read Sal at Grantland.com. Follow him on Twitter at TheCousinSal. Again, Packers -3 over Chicago, Sal says. Texans -8.5 over Indianapolis, and Ravens +3 over the Broncos. Sal, have a fantastic Christmas, my friend. We'll talk to you in January.
You too, buddy. Take care.
You're listening to the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. Hey, don't forget, we are giving away tickets not just today on the Kevin and Bean Show, but all weekend long here on K-Rock. Disneyland Southern California annual passes. How about that? I've got them for you. In fact, again, next hour, right here on good old K-Rock. Plus, we'll be counting down the top 10 Kevin and Bean sound bites of the year. That's always a lot of fun. Speaking of year-end recaps, we're very near the end of the show for the holidays, of course, and we're running out of time for R. Kelly's Trapped in the Closet. Ralph, is this the final chapter that's available right now?
This is the finale of all the new chapters from R. Kelly that he gave us this year just after Thanksgiving. And it's the greatest gift of all, really, for the holiday season, that what R. Kelly has given us. Chapter 33 of Trapped in the Closet. Here's the thing about R. Kelly. He is not afraid to star in his own videos for this series.
he doesn't go out of his way to hire a lot of other people to act.
No. Pretty much every male character, except for perhaps Twan, is played by R. Kelly. He plays Sylvester. He plays Randolph. He plays the Reverend. He plays Pimp Lucius. And now he's added a new character to the pantheon, Gangster Bino. Yes, Bino, the gangster that also helps you when you've got that gassy feeling. Bino is R. Kelly's first time playing in blackface, as far as I can tell.
Oh, no.
He has covered his face with what looks like black shoe polish to me. He's playing the blackest man in the history of African Americans, and he's a hardcore gangster who has seems to be razor-sharp metal teeth in his mouth, metal teeth, and for some reason, he's got I think he was shot in the throat. He's got an affected growl that he uses. It's really pretty magical. Twan and Sylvester go to meet Bino to try to set up some drug deal. And R. Kelly may have saved the best for last here in Chapter 33. Because as they enter the building, well, we'll just listen for yourself.
Then Twan and Sylvester, they walk in. And then they make a left. And then a right. Right. Yeah. And downstairs.
Downstairs.
Okay. And keep
going straight.
Then they make another left.
Another left.
And another left.
Another left.
And another left.
Another left.
Then up the stairs.
Go up the stairs. Stairs.
No. Third floor.
We're on the third floor.
Elevator.
Get in the elevator. Elevator.
And through some doors.
And
then, next thing you know, Sylvester says, my man, Bino.
Yeah, they finally meet Bino. He gives us every direction they walk in the building to get to Bino's office.
Fascinating.
And did we need that much detail?
And you can't say the next thing you know when you've given us 14 directions of people walking through hallways. That's just not acceptable. Sylvester here pitches his plan, his criminal plan to Bino.
Now, Bino man, let me tell you the lick. Now, Sylvester tries to whisper through it, but it's hard to talk over all the rap music. We can get this money, it's an in and out. Maybe I could buy one of these stallions.
Aha! Maybe I can buy women from the slave trade like you do, Bino, if I make enough money. Well, here's the thing. Bino knows that Sylvester's been dealing with the Italians. He knows it, and he doesn't like it, because they've got a beef, the black mafia and the Italian mafia.
Huh? Ain't funny. You think I'm a dummy? I know you're doing deals with the Italians.
Okay. What's happening?
That's Bino.
Why is this happening?
That's Bino.
Why is this a thing that exists?
Yeah, doing the Italians.
And here's where we find out why Bino doesn't like the Italians, because Joey from the Italian mob. What a creative name for an Italian guy. He shot Bino in the throat one time, and that's why he goes all the time.
So tell me, how Joey doing?
ratting. Spaghetti and meatball eating mother could pop me on a Chicago deal. Way back.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm done.
Bino
I really
like
don't
the
need
Italians.
Anymore.
That's when the deal goes sour. That's when all the things go south. All the gangsters in the office there in Bino, they pull out their guns and their gats and their pieces, and there's a Mexican standoff.
Now Twan look at the best. It's the best to look at Twan. Then they look at Bino and all of his goals. And I don't know where Twan stands up and says, man, ain't nobody trying to play you. Then Bankhead says, sit the f*** down before I bobble your head. It's the best to remember. Twan's gun is in a holster on his leg. Bino screams, mother come up in my establishment and disrespect me. Bankhead, take him out back. Now wait a minute, Twan hits one goon. Then he kicks another. It's the best to pause the gun on Bino and says, don't make me shoot you, my brother. Now back up, motherfucker, back up. Twan takes Bankhead's gun and says, you heard what he said, motherfucker, don't act up. And then Bino says, your family's friends, y'all won't live to see the weekend. Sylvester keeps the gun at Vino's head. They all can't do nothing but stare. They backed up to the door, Twan say let's go. Then they ran the f*** up out of there.
They run out of Vino's office. And you say, okay, well, that's the end of the episode. No, no, no. Because there has to be an elaborate, and I'm not kidding you, like 4-minute chase scene of just Sylvester and Twan running down alleys. And what do you do there? Well, naturally, you create a faux Michael Jackson song from the 80s.
What?
It's R. Kelly doing a song that sounds like a Michael Jackson song that is basically the lyrics are Twan and Sylvester are on the run, basically.
Twan Sylvester on the run, gotta get away from goons with guns tonight.
Yeah.
Running, diving, bullets flying. Bino won't still lie.
Yeah,
yeah.
This may be too ambitious.
Yeah.
He may be taking off more than the world needs
woo!
With this story.
He literally sings the song and goes, woo! I mean, it's full-blown Michael Jackson ripoff. Then they run and they run and they run. They finally get to where they're going. Twan wants to keep running, but Sylvester says, no, we're here.
Man, let's just keep running. No. Besides, we at the backstage door. Backstage door of what? The backstage door of the show.
And the show is the show that's been featuring all these little interviews that they've been sitting down for. It turns out it's all been part of a very special episode of a show called Larry.
Okay. Get the hell out of here, Ralph. You know, seriously, shut up.
You know Jerry Springer, right?
Jerry. Shut up.
Jerry. Well, this show is Larry. Larry. And it's a very special episode called Out of the Closet.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Out of the Closet show.
Right now.
Let's give it up for your host, Larry.
Thank you.
Wow. Larry. 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 And then that's the end. That's the end of everything. So you know what we've learned in these series of episodes? Nothing. You know what we certainly haven't learned? Where are you, Chuck?
Very disappointing conclusion to the Trapped in the Closet chapter.
Where's Chuck?
No,
you can't start off by talking about, here's the question, where are you, Chuck? Where, that's the big question. And then never touch on it again in any chapter for the remainder.
Where are you, Chuck?
Come on.
Exactly. Well, I'm very sad. And I hate that I now am looking forward to chapter 34.
Yeah, because we need to know where Chuck is and what happened to Bridget and the midget. Come on, R. Kelly.
Well, hopefully, Ralph has some good news that'll get the bad taste of R. Kelly out of our mouth. What's going on in the world of showbiz right now?
Before I get to showbiz news, I do know what everyone is thinking because this is the last day of the show before we go on our holiday break. How do I live without Ralph Garman? I know that's what you're thinking. And I say, well, it's going to be hard, but don't forget, every Saturday throughout the rest of the month, I will be performing Hollywood Babylon with Kevin Smith up at the John Lovitz Theater. It is this Saturday at 8, then next Saturday on the 22nd at 8, we're doing our Christmas show. And then, of course, New Year's Eve also, we're doing our special New Year's Eve extravaganza.
So it's like our show, only good.
Right. Only you get to drink during it, and there's a big stoned guy on stage with me. So come see us. You can go to thelovitz.com for details for all those shows. You can go to See Smod. We'll be traveling around the country as well. So Hollywood Babylon up there at the John Lovitz Comedy Club at Universal City Walk.
Yeah, hi, this is David Hasselhoff.
No, Dave, we just
Listen,
don't.
No. I wanted to figure out how to get tickets if I get down there.
I told you, thelovest.com. Jeez, Dave. Anne Hathaway, who of course has that big movie Les Miserables coming out on Christmas Day that Lisa and I are excited about.
Yeah, very.
Because Lisa loves Broadway and I'm a little bit gay. She has been mortified this week because at the premiere last Monday night, you may have seen the pictures. She was getting out of her limo wearing a very slinky haute couture dress. Mm-hmm. And the next thing you know, she was showing her Lady Garden. She was showing her magic parts.
I'd love to get a copy of that.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, and she's mortified, according to friends. And, in fact, Matt Lauer brought it up on the Today Show during the interview. She took the high road saying it was an unfortunate incident. But then she said, I find it sad that we live in an age when someone takes a picture of another person in a vulnerable moment and sells the photo rather than deleting it and commodifies sexuality of unwilling participants.
That's what she said?
That's what she said.
Off the top of her head, she came up with that?
Yes, she did.
She's smarter than I thought.
I had a dream and spread her legs and caught a glimpse of her vajayjay.
Look, I think
lyrics for I had a dream.
Sad and embarrassing for actresses when this happens all the time, but isn't the solution, I don't know, wear some panties?
No. Sadly, apparently there's no way to cover up your vagina. Turns out there's no scientific way. Science has yet to create a way that you can put something over
Sometimes
your vagina so it doesn't show.
If something is very form-fitting, it is very tricky to be able to avoid any sort of lines.
That's why Jesus invented the thong, Lisa.
Well, the thong has a thing that goes around your hips.
Well,
that can show, too.
That's why Mrs. Jesus invented the Spanx, Lisa. There's ways. There are things you can do. But if you know you're not covered in that region, think twice before how you get out of the limo.
I agree.
That's all I'm saying.
You're absolutely right.
Keep those,
I got a
get
taco
in my vagina.
Right here.
Keep the doors closed, ladies. Everyone talking about Nirvana reuniting on 12-12-12 for that big celebrity concert. Mostly Courtney Love's talking about it, saying how much she hates it. And it's not possible because Kurt's not there and he was the heart and soul of the group. And Paul McCartney, how dare he get in front of the band and blah, 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 blah.
And I'm going to say that it's not Nirvana if Kurt Cobain is in there, but it's musicians who are in Nirvana who choose to play with somebody else, and that's their right.
Right, and it's a cool event for Nirvana fans to see the surviving members get back together again and play music. That's all that was. They did play with Paul McCartney in a song that is now being called Cut Me Some Slack. A lot of people thought it was called Mama at the time because that seemed to be the recurring lyric in that song. Being able to taste that for people?
Hair just flying back and forth. He's just pounding those drums as hard as he can.
How Pat much Smear fun is for Dave Grohl to play drums for Paul McCartney?
Oh, yeah. So fun, yeah.
Pat
Smear is just rocking out. Chris Novoselic just bouncing up and down. And Paul McCartney, again, I point out, at 71 years old, totally bringing it. I thought that was one of the highlights of the whole night. I really enjoyed it.
It all happened because Dave Grohl is making a documentary called Sound City about the legendary Los Angeles recording studio. And Dave was bringing together musicians to cut one song in a day, and he would record that, and that become part of the documentary. So he brought in famous people like Tom Petty and Paul McCartney, and that song was the product of their getting together at Sound City. That's the reason they did it. The documentary will be out soon, and Bean, you were saying you can pre-order it, right?
Yeah, Dave Grohl tweeted this morning from the Foo Fighters account that you can pre-order the Sound City movie for $10 for a limited time only, which I did, by the way. Sounds like a deal. And then they send you out a whole bunch of behind-the-scenes stuff. I got an email in front of me that has video clips with Dave Grohl, with Tom Petty, with Josh Homme from Queens, with Trent Reznor, all sorts of good stuff, just kind of priming the pump for the movie coming out in February.
Awesome. So maybe take advantage of
$10.
That.
$10!
Where do you go?
Bad,
what's the
right?
site? Where do you go to?
Well, Foo Fighters, you can just go to foofighters.com or soundcitymovie.com.
There you go. Today's celebrity birthday is actor Ted Raimi from the Spider-Man movies and Xena Warrior Princess is 47 years old today. Jackson Rathbone from the Twilight Saga and also Last Airbender, he's 28. And Vanessa Hudgens, that adorable little minx from High School Musical. She needs a razor. She needs a closer shave. That's all I'm saying. We've seen nude photos of her, and I'm just saying there's a 5 o'clock shadow that's very disconcerting. Anne Hathaway's got nothing to worry about as long as those photos are still out and about. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
This is the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ, the final hour of the Kevin and Bean Show for 2012. I'm sad, Ralph, that we're running out of time because there's been very little Christmas music on our program.
That's true.
And very little Christmas music means not only not much fruitcake from Fred Schneider, it also means not much Wing, Santa on a Helicopter.
This Wing is a beautiful song about Santa Claus on a helicopter. Mm. Not a traditional sleigh cart.
Not a traditional sleigh cart, you guys.
Santa Claus on a helicopter.
I just feel like if you don't have Wing singing Santa on a helicopter, it's not really the holiday season, you know?
Maybe the most annoying Christmas song ever. Grandma got run over by a reindeer.
So you're not down with the Wing.
No.
All right, every year about this time, we start looking back at the year that was. We did the top 10 Omar intros for you yesterday, little songs that he created for our program throughout the year. We did the top 10 beer mug moments. We had the top 10 internet roundup moments. Now we're up to the top 10 sound bites of 2012. These are the little, what we call in the business, these are the little drops, little sound bites. Usually somebody saying something that we sprinkle throughout the program that we have just fallen in love with. And it was tough. This was a great year for sound bites, Ralph. It was very tough for us to narrow it down to the final 10. But are you ready?
I can't wait.
Number 10, and I can't believe that this doesn't happen more often with Lisa May, because she is asked to read all sorts of ridiculous copy for her commercials.
Yes. Yeah.
Just yesterday, she had a commercial where she was going on about ho, ho, ho. This is the one, though, that really captured my imagination. It's one of the best, and it's number 10 of the sound bites of 2012.
So much beef.
I mean, that just to me, you hear Lisa saying that, that's just good
news.
Hard
to argue that,
I thought it might have been Gruyere, but no, so much beef.
It's a terrible word.
Remember when we had the guy on, and we revisited the conversation just very recently with the when the Powerball jackpot got up to $500 million. We had that guy on from Florida who wrote a book about how to win the lottery. Remember? And I ran some crackball theory by him, and here's what he had to say. We also fell in love with his soundbite, number 9 of the year.
That's a bunch of hogwash.
Just such commitment to that, right?
And who's using hogwash in 2012, by the way?
Great question. One of the internet roundup videos that we fell in love with so much was Sweet Brown. She was the lady who was interviewed after there was a fire in her neighborhood. She had just come down for a cold pop, and she said something that just we all fell in love with. Here's it is at number 8.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
I mean, really, that just says it all. You're going to love this, Ralph. You actually made it as a soundbite this year.
I'm honored.
Ralph Garman, who says something just like this so often whenever somebody seems to be into something that Ralph doesn't understand, this is what he says.
How can you love it? It's crap.
Well, I want to know.
That is true.
Up to number 6, of course, it was a very contentious political season. The election was very, very close. It just happened last month, back in November, and the election and the campaigning is where we got this soundbite at number 6.
Mitt Romney says no.
Yeah, that's a great one.
Mitt Romney said no to a lot of things on our show, didn't he?
Sure did.
Before Kevin, my former radio partner, before he died, before he passed away a few weeks ago, he used to be on the program. And we used to always love it when he would try to tackle, I don't know, complicated words that had maybe two or three syllables in them. Like this one, the soundbite at number 5.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah, good stuff.
Number 4 is, this was our go-to song every time we had a clip from a new album. Ralph would be talking about something that we were excited about, a new collaboration or a leak on a hot new album or something like that. This is usually the song that we went to, and I love this at number 4.
Balls, 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 balls.
That, by the way, came out of 30 Rock this year.
That's right.
It's
Jane Krakowski.
Yes.
Yes. What a Jenna's hit records. Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. And that show was so funny this year, and I just loved the little ball song. All right. We're getting close to the top here. Top 10 sound bites of 2012 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Here's one. This is a dark horse. This one came pretty late in the season. We've used it some this year. I suspect this one might even make next year's list. This one's going to be so popular because it definitely has the people behind it. Notices whenever we go out anywhere in public, it's almost impossible to not have people chanting fire beer mug.
Yes.
It's just they're so swept up with that. It seems like that you got to give the people what they want, right?
I saw the band Garbage doing it backstage at Acoustic Christmas this year.
Come on.
Just spontaneously.
They weren't doing that.
John Boehner, he went to the White House yesterday to meet with President Obama for an hour, and I saw some of the video of that as they're walking out of the Oval Office. The only thing they can agree on is fire beer mug. They're chanting that together. It's just crazy. Number two on the list of the top 10 sound bites of 2012. I'm going to take you back to a magical day on the Kevin and Bean Show, the first week of March. We had a young lady in here being interviewed by the name of Lana Del Rey. Do you remember that interview?
No, how could I forget?
Charming Lana Del Rey.
Pompous bitch.
And do you remember that we asked her a question about the editing of her videos? And it turned out, well, not only does she in fact edit her videos, but according to her...
Obviously,
she says. Cool. Yes. That was Lana Del Rey, and that was hard. You'd be hard-pressed to find a soundbite that we enjoyed more than obviously.
Obviously.
But there is one. You guys have been on the show for 12 months. Any guesses? Any thoughts?
Wow.
Any hopes and dreams and wishes of what
Number
this last one could be?
What could it be?
I'll give you a hint that might be a tip-off to you. This one also comes from the month of March. Lana Del Rey was on in March. We had somebody else on in March that gave us the greatest soundbite of the year for 2012.
Oh, that's tough.
March.
I don't know.
Well, it's the musical question we asked ourselves many times.
Will Glenda be there?
Oh,
ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, the great Larry King.
Yeah.
Larry King was on the show ahead of his appearance at the Kevin and Bean April Foolishness this year, and out of the blue, for some reason, he asked us if Glenda was going to be there.
Obviously.
And we never stopped the whole rest of the year trying to figure out who Glenda was.
Say hello to Jane Biondi of 2012.
Yes.
Exactly it is. So there it is, ladies and gentlemen. Your top 10 soundbites of 2012. You know how you borrow your parents' car, you're a teenager, you take your parents' car out, and you get into a fender bender, you scrape it up a little bit, and you know that they're going to find out, and you know that you're going to have to tell them, but you put it off to the last possible second.
Sure.
Yeah, you know what that feels like, because you know it's going to be miserable, you're going to get in so much trouble, so you got to do it, but why rush, right?
Right.
That's what this letter has been like for me, that's been burning a hole in my pocket for the last week.
What?
And this is the end of the show for the year.
You
so.
Murdered Kevin.
Dear Bean, thank you for ordering, name a product. Unfortunately, this item has been discontinued and we are completely out of stock. We apologize for any disappointment or inconvenience. This was your Christmas present, Ralph. This
what?
Is the letter that I got. If your order was paid for by check or money order, a refund will be mailed separately. If your order was paid by credit card, please be assured that you have not been charged. For further assistance or to hear about similar products we are currently offering, please don't hesitate to call customer service. Blah, 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 blah.
I'm so tired of your lame-ass excuses. What was last year's? Oh, they lost it in the mail. No, it was back ordered. No, there was a.
But it's not my fault.
Hurricane, no, locusts, there was an earthquake.
If an item has been discontinued and is completely out of stock and they're not going to make any more and they're not going to restock it. How is that my fault? Because I chose something for you that's unavailable.
That's what you get for ordering the O.J. Simpson football game. What did you possibly get for me that they don't make anymore?
Yeah, I'd love to know.
Twinkies?
First of all, it could have been Twinkies. It could have been my first news. Could have been that. You don't know, man. You don't know.
They pulled that up the shelves.
But I just want you to know that I did. When you don't get a Christmas present from me, Ralph,
thanks.
I want you to know it's not that I didn't try.
Oh,
I want you to understand. I did make the effort to buy you something. It's not my fault if they're sold out, though.
Why don't you just donate to a charity in my name? Why don't you just compound it and just give the complete BS Christmas package?
At least I'm
thank you, kids.
I'm off the hook if I tried and through no fault of my own the present is not available. Now I don't have to get something else, right? I'm done.
Guy you barely know got a kidney. I can't even get a freaking Christmas present.
I don't think you're off the hook.
La, I can't hear you. Sorry, we already decided.
Doesn't get her QVC. I don't get a Christmas present.
What did you buy for this year?
Bean is saving some cash this year.
Yeah, what's the deal?
She doesn't care. She's a woman. What this?
Exactly.
Bean
Thank
is so
you,
cheap,
Sam.
He would rather give a guy an organ for Christmas than actually buy something from a store.
Because that's free. That
exactly.
costs me nothing.
That's right.
Well, I'm sorry, Ralph. Hope you enjoy the air you're getting from me this year.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
9:39, time for our final look at the showbiz beat for the year.
Maybe Lindsay Lohan will have a Merry Christmas. Looks like someone is willing to pay for her storage locker.
Wow.
That she is behind on.
Oh, that's a euphemism, I hope, right?
Paying the No, she actually has a storage facility.
Oh, it's not her storage locker. Right?
She's behind on the rent to the tune of $16,000. How do you accrue $16,000 in back rent on a storage facility?
That's years of neglect is what
And
that
at
is.
What point do they say, you know what, no, we're just going to auction your stuff off to Dave Hester? Well, that's what they're threatening to do, but someone
I would think 30
up.
Days after you stopped paying right. would be all you should be allowed to expect, right?
Yep. Maybe they give her more because she's Lindsay Lohan. Either way, someone stepped forward and they said, we'll pay your storage bill.
How about we'll sweeten the deal? We will actually pay the rent on your leased Beverly Hills mansion for the next couple of months. How about that?
Nice, nice.
All you need to do is work for us, said Scores Strip Club in New York City.
I like it.
They fired a letter off to her lawyer this week saying, we will foot the entire bill. You just have to work for our online site called scoreslive.com. And it's not even working the poll. It's not even, ladies and gentlemen, coming to stage one, Lindsay. Put your hands together for Lindsay.
Yeah.
Giant size cans.
It's her hosting an online video chat for its website. No nudity required. She just has to host the chat. And for that, they're going to pick up the tab on her delinquent storage locker bill and also her rent.
She might be desperate enough to consider it.
She might.
I say wait. Wait until she has more bills accrued and then make her get on the stage, work the pole. Yeah. Champagne room. Taylor Swift, also known as Tadoff Switler.
How dare you?
Daughter of Satan.
How dare you?
She had some problems this morning. There was a trespasser on her property in Nashville. She, apparently she's not home. Apparently she's in the UK right now. But there's a guy named Jacob Kulke. He was arrested at 1:45 this morning after allegedly hopping a fence at her property. He was detained by her Gestapo security. And he said, I'm her boyfriend. So they let him go. And he murdered her. No, that's not what I thought happened. They called the police. And it turns out he said, I took a bus from Wisconsin just to be with her for her birthday. He was booked into jail for trespassing and held on $10,000 bond. Apparently, Jacob has some issues.
Yeah.
Some mental issues regarding his relationship with Taylor Swift. Although, given the number of men she burns through, being a whore that she is, it could very well be one of her ex-boyfriends, and he doesn't even know it yet because she doesn't bother to break up with him until she releases her next album and puts that breakup in song.
Why make up going out with Taylor Swift and all you have to do is wait until it's your turn?
Well, I'll get there eventually. Taylor Swift lives in Nashville, by the way.
She's from Pennsylvania.
She's just outside Philly. She's from just outside Philly.
Right,
but she's not some hometown Southern girl cranking out the authentic country music. She's a kid from the East Coast.
Her parents moved to Nashville with her when she was 14 because she wanted to get into the music business, and they were trying to support her habit.
Yeah.
Habit of...
That is not holiday-ish at all.
While we're talking about music, Jackie Chan, one of the best martial artists on the planet and, of course, star of Rush Hour and other Chop Saki films, has announced what he really wants to do is star in a musical. He tells the New York Post that his ideal role for his entire career would be to play Baron Von Trapp in The Sound of Music.
Well, if he sings the way he talks, I'm in.
Well, that command of the English language, I can only imagine that he would make a brilliant Baron Von Trapp. How do you explain to the Nazis that their Austrian nobleman is actually Jackie Chan? It would be a confusing musical, I think.
I've heard him sing before, by the way. He is terrible.
Edervice. And this is great news coming out of the UK. Poor Nathaniel Grindle, 33-year-old. He just wanted to be in the audience at a televised professional darts show. Competition, match, whatever it's called. Whatever they call people who throw darts as a sport. They televise it in the UK. It's so popular.
It's very popular. Televised darts matches. Yeah, and people people don't realize this, but you know how you go into bars now, here and you have arcades or something like that? Sometimes you'll see pool tables. In Britain, every single bar has a dartboard, and that's the hot spot in the whole place because everybody plays darts.
Yeah, that's their pub activity in the UK. Nathan Grindle, 33 years old, was in the audience, but he was spotted by the crowd, apparently. And here's the thing about Nathan Grindle. He looks exactly like Jesus.
Oh.
Too much like Jesus. So much so that the crowd started chanting, Jesus! 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 And security threw him out of the darts match because he was too much of a distraction. Six bouncers led him from the premises and took him to a nearby bar where they bought him a beer and told him not to come back to the event.
That's not fair.
He wasn't disrupting in any way other than just sitting there?
He said, I didn't go to the darts match dressed as Jesus. I'm just me.
I always wear a robe and sandals.
I don't think he didn't come in dragging a cross or anything. But they escorted him out and said that he could not come back. So he
was he just ordering water and turning it into wine and not making any money off of it?
The crowd was happy. 33 years old, by the way, Jesus.
Yeah, look out. It's going to be a rough year for you,
dude.
Not a
good year for you.
No.
Not a good year for you, Bob.
See, you don't get that, Beer Mug, but that's the age at which we lost the Savior. He died.
That was the year your people killed our
Savior.
Hey,
whoa.
I'm just saying.
Whoa, I had nothing to do with that.
I don't know.
I bet Beer Mug was involved somehow.
I've seen pictures. There's a guy who looks suspiciously like Beer Mug in the crowd.
Very much like you.
Holding a spear. That's all I know.
Not possible.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Ted Raimi from the Spider-Man movies and Xena, Warrior Princess, is 47 years old. Jackson Rathbone from the Twilight Saga and Last Airbender, he's 28 years old. Vanessa Hudgens, star of High School Musical and Journey to the Mysterious Island, she's 24 years old today. I want to wish everyone who listens to us each and every morning a gracious and a very happy holiday, and have a great 2013. We'll see you when we get back. Thanks so much for everything. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I believe full staff will be reporting for duty just after the first of the year, right? I think everybody's going to be here. Have the little Kevin, little Bean, have some Omar. The whole deal, right?
I wouldn't count on it.
Yeah, I don't buy it until I see it. We'll see what happens.
But less Beer Mug in 2013.
Oh,
we can all
on.
Agree with that.
Yeah.
Right?
Woo! I might Seriously. Just die. I might just die over the holiday.
No,
week.
You're going to get in shape. Right? Oh, no, wait. That's the next
that's
year,
after.
Right?
Yeah, that's
after
after
the
after.
Holidays.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right.
All right, let's all sing that song we love one more time. I echo everything that Ralph said. We thank you so much for the great support you've given the Kevin and Bean Show for the past 12 months. We love you for it, and we'll see you real soon. Bye-bye.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Will Glenda be there?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Obviously.
Roll another one.
Hey, shut up.
Just like the other one.
I'm Larry Flint. I approve this message.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Oh, yeah.
I need another hit.
Well, must be psychosomatic. Now, don't worry. That's just a fancy doctor word for your brain is broken. Unfortunately, there's no field of medicine that deals with the brain.
Roll
another one. I'm not a robot. I'm a unicorn.
Just like the other one.
One could say that, but should one?
This one seems to be about to end.
By the way, I don't take no orders from no one.
I don't have another cent.
Whoa, did you feel that? I think our periods just synchronized.
But don't bogart that joint.
That's not brown rice.
Just pass it around.
Lots of old people have chlamydia.
But don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Wow, that sounds fantastic.
But just pass it on down.
Wish you a Merry Christmas.
Thanks, everybody. See you next week.
Later days, dummies.
What the f***, man? You don't know. You know what? No. No. You guys are dead to me. You're dead. Dead to me. That's it. I'm done. F*** you.
Final question. This is tough. Can you see I'm not prepared? I got it.
Checkmate. Game, set, match. Rumbledygoo. Which is what you say when you win in polo.
You know what? I'm calling this. We're done.